Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The beast, the man.
You gotta beat the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Welcome to another live Tuesday night of Online World of Wrestling Radio. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to join us here on the show. You can also Skype Sir Rockin' if you are the techno types, and they're on tomorrow night, but one of them will be joining us in a few moments. That'll be Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio. The Spug possibly will be joining us as well. If you're here in the Online World of Wrestling chat room, which is available through wildtalkradio.com, thank you for joining us as well. Due to a scheduling issue, just want to warn everybody that came on and said, hey, Bill Apter's here tonight. Yes, Bill Apter will be with us tonight to talk about the new Kayfabe Commentaries release ringside with Terry Funk that he hosted with Mr. Funk. However, due to his onewrestling.com commitment, he's only available to us for 20 minutes, so 9:30 to 9:50 is his time. Barring his scheduling issues, Ring of Honor's Colt Cabana should be joining us at some point this evening via the Skype network. So if he's not here, you can throw rocks at me, kill me, or you can just send the NXT guys after me. They're here live in Tampa right now at the St. Pete Times Forum, and they're taping the NXT show first, from what I was told by some of the people that message on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot, and then they're doing SmackDown, and I've been told it's an interesting evening of NXT, especially if you're a fan of Caval, Loki. But we're not about spoilers here. We can't do spoilers. Am I aware? Oh, Mace is available. Good evening, sir, or good afternoon to you, actually, since you're on the Australian time.
Well, actually, it's good morning at this point in time. Doesn't turn afternoon till the top of the hour.
Well, all right. Hour, anyway. Well, Mace was one of those fortunate ones who, with Sir Rock and our producer, watched Monday Night Raw with us, or at least he got to see probably one of the weirdest endings to a Monday Night Raw in recent memory. Where if you didn't watch it, let's just put it to you this way. If you thought you had seen ass kickings in the past, you ain't seen nothing yet, Dorothy. Not only did Wade Barrett make his, I guess, official Raw debut as a WWE superstar, confronting John Cena during the 3-hour viewer's choice, and yes, we will break that down during the night. It looks like we will also have Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald joining us as a contributor tonight. He has been doing interviews all over the place, including a recent one with Caval, which we'll bring up during NXT chat. But let's get back to the NXT thing, Mace. If for fans that didn't watch it, let's just put it this way. Every member of NXT surrounded the ring, beat the living snot out of, let me make sure I get everybody here, John Cena, CM Punk, Matt Stryker, Jerry the King Lawler, some timekeeper guy, ring announcer Justin Roberts. I think they tried to go into the audience and get some of the Miami Heat fans and the Florida Panther fans. They might have gone to Jimmy Johnson's house and dragged him here. And if you don't know what Jimmy Johnson is, I'm talking the former football coach, not the car racer. And just basically beat the snot out of everybody for, I lost track of the time. Pulled the ring apart, tossed ring tables over, and then just casually walked to the locker room like, yeah, we're going, dudes, thanks, welcome to NXT. Welcome to Monday Night Raw, NXT, guys. We'll get to a gossip point real fast, and then we'll let Mace give his opinion on it, because I have my own, but I'm trying to clean it up so I don't have a potty mouth. From the Figure Four Online Wrestling Newsletter, the fact that Michael Cole was the only one to escape the NXT invasion on Raw last night could mean, I don't know how to take this, but that it's a part of a storyline that has been talked about with Michael Cole moving forward as a heel. Now, as we said, all of the NXT rookies surprised everybody last night. I mean, literally. Now, apparently, they got praised for their work on their, mini-me quotes, invasion angle. Both Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Levesque, Michael Hayes are said to have enjoyed the recent NXT angles with the invasion, including the Michael Cole versus Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson segment, and where the pros got on the mic last week before Wade Barrett was announced the winner. Now, I'm confused on a lot of things that we're going to try to break down here. Since Mace is the professional wrestler of the group that's on the Wrestle Talk Radio and Wild Talk Radio Network, the floor is yours, sir. Your initial thoughts on what transpired last night.
Well, first of all, while I may be a professional wrestler, I tell you what, I feel like the smallest fish in the pond this week with you bringing on Bill Apter and Colt Cabana.
Don't feel small. Don't feel small.
I'm a small-time independent guy, and I know it. But with this invasion, though, the buzz that has been generated from this is absolutely amazing. I've floated around in different chat rooms and other radio shows directly after Raw, and people were talking about this like it's a rebirth of the NWO done right. Everybody is thinking this is the best thing to happen to wrestling since the NWO invasion back in 96. And to be honest, I will agree with them that this has got people coming back to wrestling, and that's what we've been needing. We've been wanting this resurgence for years, and now it's finally happening because, well, okay, Vince pretty much stole the WCW angle, but he made it work for his wrestlers. The only thing that I don't agree with, and this is more the wrestler side of what I've done, is I don't agree with guys pulling up the ring aprons, exposing the underside of the ring, the mat off, or the canvas off the ring, and exposing the foam mats underneath. But to be honest, once I saw that, I actually have a lot more respect for the WWE guys. I didn't realize that their mats were that thin.
Yeah, thin. I was like, holy God, I've been to some indie shows here in Florida, and I was saying to you guys last night, I was like, holy God, they look like they're bumping on tissue paper more than they're bumping on padding.
Oh, exactly. But with this type of thing, I don't like to see it happen because as much as everybody knows, like, the curtain has been lifted on kayfabe pretty much completely, but there are some things we can still keep, which is the illusion that the ring is what it is. But by pulling that up, they've now shown millions upon millions of people, including little kids who still believe in kayfabe, that it's fake. But I guess nobody really paid attention because as reports were coming in after the show, people were sticking around long after they usually get up and leave for the show just to see if there was more. People are really digging their nails into this and grasping onto it. Personally, if this is what gets people back in the wrestling, then keep going. As for the whole Michael Cole escaping thing, I don't really buy it with the whole thing between him and Danielson. But it could lead to, who knows, maybe Danielson will walk away from that group at some point and shoot off on his own. We don't know. The only guys who seem to know are Vince and Stephanie and Paul and all those guys in creative.
Yeah, which brings up, that brought up a point. A few friends of mine that I talked to through message boards and whatnot, and a few people on the OWW Genesis board, which you can access through onlineworldofwrestling.com, brought up that fact of, okay, wait a minute. You basically set up Justin Gabriel as a face, Daniel Bryan as a face, Heath Slater possibly as a face, and Gabriel was getting over pretty well. So you basically just took all these characters and said, all right, garbage can, you're all heels, congratulations, in 30 seconds flat, because they jumped John Cena. And Mason said it, and Rockin had said it at the same time. We're just sitting there going, and if fans don't get the Superman reference and you haven't been listening to WTR on Sunday nights, they were both saying to me, he's going to do Superman, where he was going to take on all eight guys and blast them all to pieces. And shock of shocks, he didn't. He actually let them beat the snot out of them. And it, like you said, it was reminiscent of the former New World Order of 1996, which was crowned here in Florida and then done all over the place and hashed, rehashed, overhashed. I think you're right in one aspect. I'm very confused, and I hope maybe possibly tonight on the SmackDown taping that's here in Tampa will be airing this Friday on my TV, wherever you can find it. We'll possibly get some answers to a lot of the questions. That's the one that's been bugging me the most is you set up this kick-ass feud, in quotes, with Daniel Bryan and Michael Cole. So now you're going to set it up. That just like went out the window, and so basically it said, guys, NXT was 15 weeks of setting up characters just to go on Raw and SmackDown. None of the competitions meant a thing. And Darby 2 in the room is asking, is NXT World Order the official name? I don't believe that's what they're calling it. I don't think that's what they're going to call it. I mean, who knows?
That's pretty much what the fans have called it at this point in time.
That's
until
what they've been calling it on
name.
The boards is NXT World Order.
Yes.
Well, I see. Now, that's an interesting question, and I don't know if Rockin can look in the archives or not, or maybe Mace does know it. But when WCW was purchased in the late 90s, early 2000s, did they snag all the copyrights for names, including New World Order? Because I know New World Order was used in 2002 and everything when Hogan
yes,
Hall
they did
match.
Get those copyrights.
So they do own that copyright, so I guess they can
yes.
call it the NXT World Order or New World Order.
Because if you actually go back through some of the older NXT episodes, I believe it was Michael Tarver.
That's right.
Who had a show shirt, yeah, NWO style, but it had Next Generation on it. So who knows, that could have been a precursor. They made the shirt, why not give us a reason to sell it?
888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. That is Mace to WTR, here on this network on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. However, this Sunday, they're going to be on at 11, because as we'll possibly talk with Jim Varsalone during this however long we go tonight show, they have a pay-per-view this Sunday, Slammiversary, which we'll address, but I want to address real quick back to the WWE issue. This show, since Mace didn't see all of it, this show honestly felt like it was a 3-hour throwaway show. And when I refer to it as a throwaway show, I mean in the fact that there was not one storyline whatsoever involved here. You didn't set up a single match for Fatal 4-Way except Randy Orton and Edge. And I'm not really sure how to go about that. Looks like we do have someone on the line. Would this happen to be Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald joining us?
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Yes, yes, good to hear you. And hello to everybody that's out there on the lines.
You'll also hear another voice on with me. His name is Mace. He is a part of another show on this network called Wrestle Talk Radio. We were just bringing up the facts of last night's mayhem in Miami, basically. For fans that aren't aware, Jim Barcelona does do a column for the Miami Herald. Did you happen to be at last night's event, or were you like the rest of us watching it on TV?
No, I went down there. We actually, WWE was gracious enough. We did a thing where we honor some student-athletes that were doing well for their schoolwork. So before the show, we had a contest we've been running for the last couple of months. So before the show, they had honored three kids. So actually got down there early, like at 5 o'clock, and then we did that, and then obviously stayed for the show. And I mean, that crowd, I've been to a lot of shows down here in South Florida. That was one of the loudest crowds I've been to in a long time for a WWE event. That crowd just was, I mean, viewer's choice, you could tell that the WWE universe, they really don't care about wrestling. All they care about is entertainment and fun and just having a good time, and it's not like the old days anymore. I mean, you saw some of those viewer choice voting and the percentages, and for some of those things, they weren't even close. They wanted to see the guys dance. They didn't want to see them wrestle. I mean, it was like, what, 88% wanted to see them dance? I mean, it's a new day. It's a new day out there, and they're the ones paying the money, so God bless them. Yeah.
As Mr. Barcelona just referenced, there was some very interesting stuff. I'm going to run it real fast. Chris Jericho lost not only a body slam challenge to the Big Show, he lost a submission match to the Big Show, and then was thrown over the top rope, which were the other selections that you could vote on. The weirdest tag team in wrestling history lost to the Hart Dynasty. That would have been Hornswoggle and the Great Khali, only to see the Usos do a run-in, and we'll reference them in a minute. Kozlov and Santino had no pants-off dance-off, but the dance-off was there. You had Maurice win a Viva Battle Royal. Kane defeated Sheamus by a countout. The Long Island, his name's Zack Ryder. The guy's got more names than Apollo Creed. And The Miz defeated, Killings and Morrison. Yes, I know he's R-Truth. He's Ron Killings, sorry. Edge and Orton ended in a DQ with the one arm tied behind my back gimmick fading. Matt Hardy banned on SmackDown, not on Raw. Ah-ha-ha. Caught you there, Drew McIntyre. The weirdest part of the night, besides the entire NXT invasion, had to be Bradley Cooper of the A-Team walking out and going, yeah, hi, I'm Bradley Cooper, come see my movie. And next thing you know, you've got Shardo Copley and Quentin Rampage Jackson playing B.A. Baracus and Howling Mad Murdoch, and eventually running in IRS, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Dusty Rhodes, Gene Okerlund, and as Jim might mention here in a second, that was possibly one of the loudest pops of the entire night.
I can go on and on and harp on it. It's the smart fans of the old school. This is a new time with WWE and their fans. And as much as anyone wants to argue it or throw their opinions out there and just say, oh my God, what happened to what we used to watch, what we used to see and all. It's just, that's what these people watch. That's what they like. I mean, it's amazing that you could have a segment like that, which really was a slow segment. And you were right, it was one of the loudest pops of the night was during that segment. I mean, that dance-off was one of the loudest pops of the night as well. When Kozlov started dancing, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, what is this, you know, the Dancing with the Stars? What is this tonight? I don't know what's going on here. But it's that's the WWE universe, and they're marketing to their universe. So, I mean, I don't criticize them at all because that's what their fans want. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
All right. Your thoughts on that invasion last night? Because I know for your column, which we'll give everybody the way to get to that in a couple minutes, you interviewed a couple people that are involved in season 2, which starts tonight. first your thoughts on what happened last night, and we'll start teasing, we'll get into a little bit of the season two rookies. What was your initial reaction being in the arena last night?
You know what my thought was? The WWE Universe, they couldn't understand it. I don't think they could handle it because it was totally not what they're used to. For me, it was great. I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, this is great. This is NWO-esque. This is faction-esque. You're getting a group, a renegade group coming out, doing their thing, trying to take over, making a statement. And, the crowd was dead. I mean, they were dead in awe, though. They weren't dead like, they didn't like this. They just like, what do we do? How do we react to this? What's going on? Because they're not used to something like that. This was something. Now, that segment to me was something that old school fans that are used to wrestling angles and storylines and build up and some psychology getting started with something. That's how I took that. I mean, it was funny watching some of the imagery of the crowd reaction, and some were just looking, and then some had a surprised look on their face. Some were like, oh my God. And then to me, the funny part was though, when John Cena was being wheeled off on a stretcher, and I think I'm guessing the TV cameras are off by this time, but all you see is John Cena give a thumbs up.
I don't know if they showed that part, but I know they showed.
But yeah. My thought was on that was it was like, hey, you know, kids and the fans out there that were watching the show live, hey, don't be upset. I'm okay. Because they might have been thinking, hey, John Cena just got beat up. What's going on? Our hero, he's destroyed. He's hurt. I mean, it was very well done. That end part was pretty much well done. The only thing I didn't like about it was I thought they would do the photo moment where all of them would be standing in the ring with their arms in the air while Cena was lying prone on the mat. But they didn't do that.
We thought that, too. The funniest part of what you just mentioned, my wife is a patient care technician and a CNA, which basically means she knows a lot of medical stuff. So sometimes she watches the wrestling with me and sees these guys get these injuries. And Mace brought this up too last night. What was your first thought, Mace, when you saw them stretchering up? Tell them, be honest.
I watched the, EMTs sort of. They didn't secure Cena's neck first, which in that type of situation, they should have done before they even tried to put him on the stretcher. It was a very, very small mistake unless you have been trained in these type of matters. Due to being a former security guard myself, I was trained in these type of matters as well. So I just pick that up every now and again. I get a good chuckle out of it.
Yeah, we were just sitting there. We're the type of people that we watch certain items and we'll just go, yeah, this is a great show. They screwed that up totally wrong over there. That's the wrong way to put handcuffs on or stuff like that. But we're going to put an interactive question out to the audience that's in the chat room, and we're going to actually ask Jim this in a moment. And as we said, at 9:30, Jim can stick around for this. Bill Apter will be joining us, so get your questions ready for Bill as well. We all know NXT Season 2 is a work. And if you didn't think it was a work, Jim's recent interview with Caval may lead into some interesting points there, slapping him with the WWE Women's Champions. Before we go to break, and we'll let the fans do this in the chat as well, give us your pick, fans in the room, for who you want to win NXT Season 2. And if it was a shoot, like the WWE Tough Enough was back in the day, where the wrestlers, it wasn't staged, that people really got hurt and that kind of thing. Let the fans do that in the room. But as someone who covers wrestling on a regular basis, your overall thoughts on Season 1 and what you think they may need to do to change Season 2 for the better, or are they doing it or are they not doing it in your idea?
No, I just think, I mean, it almost even like Tough Enough, and I know Tough Enough was a, per se, a legitimate competition. Even if you don't win, you still have a chance of being on the show and being signed to their programming and all. I mean, we've seen that with The Miz? Chris Nowinski, before he got his injuries and now is doing a lot with with a lot of the neuro study and all. I mean, you don't have to win the competition. Tough enough, you didn't have to win the competition. I mean, after you see one, you got, automatically got a spot. But you could see that even the Diva contest, that the ones that didn't win, they still had a chance and were able to be a part of the show if WWE summons them. I think the same thing with the next competition, where even if, like, Daniel Bryan, look at how much he's – I mean, come on. Wade Barrett won the competition, wink, wink, whatever. And Daniel Bryan's the biggest one coming out of that competition until last night. Now we'll see how this plays out. So yeah, I'd like to see I would like to see Low-Ki or Caval win the competition. But even if he doesn't, as long as he shows well, gets his character out there, the fans take to him and all, you'll see a lot of him on WWE programming. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what they could do to make it better. I mean, it is what it is. It's a show. I mean, that's what it all is. It's all TV show. So I really don't know. I don't have an answer to that part of it.
888-357-9876 is the way to join us here on All My World of Wrestling Radio. Everyone's going to stick around with us here for a moment because I'm sure Ms. Barcelona may have some questions for the legend that's going to come on. I know the chat room's been buzzing about him. After this break, we will be back with the one and only Bill Apter. 888-357-9876 is the way to join us here. If you want to be a part of it, also you can Skype Sir Rockin' if you are a part of the Skype network. I'm Alan Wojcik, that's Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald. Before we go to the break, give everybody a real quick way to find your setup through the Miami Herald. Do they have to go directly to the Miami Herald site, or do you have a separate link set up?
Yeah, they could go to they can do it two ways, thank you. You go to Miami Herald website, go to the sports section, click on the sports section, other, and that should get you to the wrestling. Or you could go www.miamiherald.com/sports/wrestling, and that should get you to it. And basically we do a Q&A forum there. I've got the interviews I do. I do a lot of interviews. I don't do a lot of the rumor and gossip stuff. There's enough of that out there. Let those people handle that. I really don't get into all the rumor gossip. I'm more of a person that if I could quote somebody using their name, that's what I go with. So I do a lot more interviews and just things like that. And talk a lot of the business of wrestling, too. People trying to understand, you know, why they might do stuff or why this one's not getting a push and this one is, and just things like that, and just try to break it down and just go, look, it's dollars and cents. It's all about business. That's always what it is, especially with WWE. It's all about the money, and because it is a big business. So but that's about it there.
All right. We'll be right back after this break. Bill Apter coming up on My World of Wrestling Radio.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry. Candice
Michelle. Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone,
this is Sir Rocket, the host of Sleepy Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of this
show. Oh my God, shut up. Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey all, Mace here. Straight shooter, opinionated, unprofessional. For months, we've had Maverick running around saying how he's on college radio, how he's professional, he's giving us free plugs. But you know what? Screw that! If you want to listen to a show that's handcuffed and censored, go listen to his show. If you want to listen to real people with real opinions using real language, then you come listen to us. WrestleTalk Radio is a place where we might cuss out a storm, but we are always entertaining. So join Spug, Will, Omega, Tim Stein, and myself as we give opinions uncensored every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now you hear that, Mav? That's real. That's damn real.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Option 1 option 1 is way to join us here on an 80s version of All My World of Wrestling Radio. Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald has joined us here along with Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio. If you're a Skyper, you can join us through the Skype network. All you need to do is type in Sir Rockin'. And if you're on the WildTalkRadio.com chat room, the time has come to have probably, in my mind, one of the top 5 biggest names I've ever interviewed, and that includes Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes and Jerry Jarrett. If you're a fan of the wrestling magazines of the 80s, such as Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Inside Wrestling and the Wrestler, you know this man because he edited it. If you're a fan of the current kayfabe commentaries releases, including 2 ring roasts, you've seen him do some very interesting comedy stuff, and we'll get into that because he's limited on time, but we're going to bring him in here right now. The legend that is Bill Apter. Thank you for joining us on All My World of Wrestling
Radio.
Thank
you so much. What a great introduction. And the introduction to your show was great, too. And by the way, you probably don't know, but back in 1969, 1970, I had the very first wrestling radio show in New York. It was called Inside Wrestling, brought to you by the magazines for wrestling fans, Inside Wrestling, and The Wrestler. Yeah. Drive time, 5:30 every Wednesday afternoon.
Wow, that is amazing. I'm a native New Yorker, but I'm a little young. As you found out the other night, I'm 35, so I know some of the stuff for the history of the New York wrestling scene. Your time is limited with us, so we'll get into certain things here. First of all,
thing, by the way, in your great introduction, I do, and I always asterisk this, where people call me the editor of all those magazines. I was part of a great team that included Stu Sachs, Dan Shockett, Peter King, Craig Peters, Eddie Elner, Brandy Minkovich. I was part of a huge team, and I was the guy out front I actually never sat and, you know, chopped the words and did all that kind of stuff. I was the guy out in the field that was accepted by the guys in the business, and I became part of the business that way. So I always love to clear that up. I was one guy on a fabulous team.
Yeah, and they were, and some of them are still working for those magazines to this date. You're here basically
still the head guy.
Yep. We're fans of the Kayfabe Commentaries DVDs on this show, or at least I am, because I've been a part of their mailing list for a long while. Talk about how you became part of their programming, including those ring roasts, and give the fans an idea of who Sean Oliver is in the realm of Kayfabe Commentaries.
Well, they had approached me a while ago. Besides being in the wrestling business, a lot of people don't know that I'm also an entertainer. I do comedy and I sing. And my best friend is an ex-wrestler, who not many people heard of, by the name of the Concrete Cowboy. He's 6'8", 385 pounds, and he and I do a nightclub act. And Sean knew something about me doing comedy and singing, and he asked me if I'd like to host the ring roast. He just thought I would be entertaining for this, and I said I'd love to. And the day we're at the ring roast, we were trying to think of a way to open it. And I said, you know, I just got done doing a show with my singing partner last night at, we'll call it, an old age home. And I said, I had this waiter costume, and I do this old Jerry Lewis bit where I come out in the middle of the crowd with a bunch of trays and drop them all over the place. Well, he said, why don't we try it and see how it goes over? So after he introduced everyone on the dais, I started working my way through the crowd, and some people thought that was me, and the rest of them didn't know it, and I fell down in front of everybody, and the trays went flying, and everybody loved it. So second year, we did it again. So that's how that happened. Well, the second year, we did it a little different thing. I dressed up as a lady due to a joke that I was pulling on Terry Funk that happened with he and I about 30 years ago in Japan. Kind of an inside joke, but I told him I'd get back at him eventually, and that was the night.
We had a question
from Sean Oliver. Regarding Sean Oliver, he and his whole crew, I don't like to work with people if they're not really professional in everything they do. And when they approached me with this, and I saw he and Anthony and the guys from Legends of the Ring that were working with them, James, Terrence, they were top flight, very professional guys. And you know, once they offered me to do the ring roast and eventually the ringside, I couldn't wait to do it.
We've got some interactive questions from our chat room. Randy.
By the way, the biggest comment I get about the ring roast and everything is about my comb over, so it doesn't bother me. It's okay. I don't mind talking about my comb over.
Yep. Randy McWilliams in our chat room wanted to know, it involves your work with OneWrestling.com.
Okay.
What was the reasoning for Joey Styles leaving? Was it because he specifically went back to WWE, or was there some underlying reasons?
Oh, you didn't hear about that affair he had with Mae Young, huh? Okay.
Whoa, hey now.
I thought no. Actually, what happened was Joey was one of the two owners of OneWrestling.com, the other being Bob Ryder, and Joey was hired full-time by WWE, and he could no longer stay at OneWrestling.com. Simple as that.
Yeah,
no underlying story, no hatreds, no scandals, none of that.
This question came from a couple people. One was from Shockage, who's one of the forum board members on OWW Genesis, and then also in our chat room, someone with the name of After Mark kind of asking the same question. Can you talk about the PWI London publishing apparent bias against WWF and Hulk Hogan over WWF not having anything to do with PWI, how they would apparently bury WWE and Hogan in every issue and deliberately show favoritism to Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA, even making their presence known at NWA events?
Yeah, well, basically, we did not knock and put them down. Hulk Hogan, not all the time. There were instances we took a stand against them, and there were also, if you really look, instances where we took stands against during Crockett Promotions or any of the other promotions. Hogan was a huge seller on the magazines, so to knock him would not, of course, be in our best interest. But we did do that at times. We felt that at that time we recognized the National Wrestling Alliance over the WWF at that portion. What happened was Vince McMahon went to start his own magazine. He bought all the magazines, didn't want any magazines taking pictures, writing stories, etc. It was virtually nearly impossible for a long time to get access to a lot of his talent. But after a while, his talent started coming to us anyway, because although they had their own magazine, they wanted to be in the independent, nobody tells us what to do type of magazines, which was Pro Wrestling Illustrated and The Wrestler and Inside Wrestling. One time when that, alleged, what these people are talking about, ban was in place, I saw Hogan in, Atlantic City at a show that he was on in there, and he stood there and he posed for 15 minutes. And he got in the ring and he kept pointing to me, "Hey, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, man." So, hopefully that answers that question. But I feel we were fair to everybody at that time. That's the way I remember it.
Bill,
now, by the way, Jim Crockett Promotions did give us, PWI, a segment on their show. During the period of that war, when they were going to war with McMahon, they asked us if we'd like a segment on there, and we said, hey, as long as we can say anything we want, we would love to do that. And that, you know, lasted almost 2 years, and I was the face of that TV segment.
888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, or you can Skype Sir Rockin' with Bill Apter, who has a new DVD out with The Legendary Funk, which we'll address in a moment, which is a part of kayfabecommentaries.com.
I'm glad you get the phone number, because I was just going to dial in. This sounds very interesting.
Jersey Girl in our chat room wanted to know, Bill, in your opinion, who is the biggest indie star that TNA or WWE should sign that you may have seen recently?
Question. That's a really, really tough question, because I don't have my finger on the pulse of the indies, so I don't really want to pick anybody until I get a good look at what's currently out there.
Let's see if we got Mace. You're awfully quiet. You can jump in here, and so can Mr. Barcelona, unless he's off reading
Jim
spoilers.
Jim Barcelona is a fantastic writer, and he's an excellent photographer, too.
And he's probably looking at the spoilers from the show here in Tampa tonight. But we can't talk about
that.
Okay. We don't talk about it.
I know with Bill being on, let me say something, and needs to be said, that any wrestling writer, wrestling photographer that's out there today, they have especially Bill Apter to thank, because he's really one of the pioneers to get this whole thing off the ground. And the thing I like about Bill, and always respect about Bill, he always did everything the right way. There wasn't anything underhanded that he did. He was always up front and honest to everybody, and he treated the fans very, very well. I saw him at events years ago. I would see him at events, and fans would come up and say hello, and he was never standoffish to fans. I mean, if he was busy doing his work, that's one thing, but he was always very up front and personable with fans, and just did things the right way. He didn't hide behind his pen. Didn't hide behind his camera. I always did things the right, I always felt the right way, and always try to emulate what I do after what I saw through him. I really mean that too, and this isn't kissing up, because I don't have any
reason to. Thank you, I really appreciate that.
That's the truth
really,
of all
you
that.
Know,
so.
That's why I love, I've been hosting a lot of the conventions, like Wrestle Reunion, Legends on Tour, the BTW Wrestling Fest in San Francisco a few weeks ago, and I love getting out there. Just give me a microphone and let me interact with the fans and the wrestlers. It's my favorite thing to do in the whole world.
One of the questions that I've been wanting to ask you, and I'm not 100% sure if this is true or not, how much of an influence did you have in probably one of the greatest feuds in wrestling history, Jerry the King Lawler and actor-comedian Andy Kaufman.
Oh, good
Is it
one.
True
That's
that
I
you
was,
were involved in this?
I was the instrument that made it all happen. What happened was Andy Kaufman used to come backstage at Madison Square Garden back in the Vince Sr. days, and he'd hang out there and try to talk to wrestlers, and Vince Sr. several times would say, "Come here, but I don't want to get out of here. So he would come with me to the studio I had on 46th Street, Manhattan, that I used to rent to shoot studio pictures, and hang out there with me taking pictures like with Kurt Hennig and Eddie Gilbert and these guys. And after the Garden shows, he and I became friends, and he'd come back to my apartment in Queens, New York, by subway, while he was a big star on Taxi. And people would be looking at it like, what's he doing on the train? And back then, my roommate was a lovely Australian girl by the name of Susan Sexton. She was an Australian girl champion. And after the Garden shows, we'd meet at my apartment in Queens, and she'd say, "If all you can talk about wrestling," because that's all she talked about, that he talked about, rather. So he wanted to be Buddy Rogers. And I said to him, "Listen, Vince Sr. isn't going to have this, but I know this guy down in Memphis. You do this great Elvis imitation. I know this guy down in Memphis named Jerry Lawler. What do we call him? They're very progressive down there. So we call Lawler 1 a.m. Lawler says, "You got Andy Kaufman, the guy from Taxi, in your little dinky apartment in Queens." I said, "Yeah, hold on." Put him on the phone, and that put the key in the ignition. And as the cliche says, the rest is history. I put them together, and then Lawler took it from there.
That is amazing. While we still have a couple minutes with you, I know you have a commitment to OneWrestling.com to watch NXT Season 2. I have the match listings for this DVD with Terry Funk, and unfortunately my Blu-ray player and the DVD got into a disagreement, and I think lawyers are involved, so I'm trying to get it back.
Wait. You have the DVD, the Blu-ray version of it?
No, I have the DVD, but unfortunately my player it got to some of the intros, and the next thing I know, I'm looking, going, "Play, damn it, play. I'm doing an interview. I want us to play." Who picked the matches for this? Was it Terry, you, or the Kayfabe Commentaries people?
Well, first of all, I got to get my Terry Funk imitation out of the way, because all you egg-sucking dogs are just going to talk about after his comb over. Anyway, no, those were picked by Kayfabe Commentaries. I had no idea until 10 minutes before we sat down what we were going to be talking about.
I was told by one of the folks with Kayfabe Commentaries, I think his name was Tony, that I'm to ask you about the Terry Funk versus Abdullah the Butcher. Heck did he come up with calling Abdullah the Butcher Spanky? I can't imagine sitting in a room with Abdullah the Butcher being that
he
okay.
He said he looks like Spanky from The Little Rascals.
Oh, my God.
But his quote was, "He looks like Spanky from The Little Rascals, but he's got a fat ass." That's what he said.
Yep. For fans that aren't aware of
the exact quote.
This DVD can be purchased on kayfabecommentaries.com along with Terry Funk. The only bad part about these DVDs, as I've said in my reviews, and I think Brad Dykens did the same, is that we wish that Sean had the videos that we could sit there and watch Terry actually watch
the problem
some of these short matches.
The problem is that involves licensing the video.
Yeah.
So that, and a lot of the companies don't want to license the video, or the expenditure is so great. But we had a wonderful time, because I've known Terry since 1970. I've traveled all over the world with him. One of the stories that nobody knows is that when he was going to audition for the TV show Wild Side, with Jason Hervey was in that too, I believe, I was in Los Angeles at the World Peace Festival that Benoki ran, and I was sleeping about 3 a.m, and the phone rings. He says, "You got to come to my room. I got a big audition reading tomorrow, and I need somebody to cue me." So I stayed up all night cueing him for that thing, and he got the part.
In the closing moments that we have with you, because like I said, you do have a commitment to
that story went over like a lead balloon, but it was a good...
I'm sorry!
All those comments, and... No, go right.
Of all, One more question that was asked in the chat room that we're going to go on, and then we'll let you go ahead and go. Aftermarket.
NXT starts.
Right. Aftermarket in our room wanted to know what wrestler from the 80s and 90s that passed away over the last few years struck you the hardest and you missed that person the most?
Oh, God. Kurt Hennig and Owen Hart to tie.
Either one of you gentlemen have questions for Bill Apter while we still have him here? Because you guys are
and
awfully
also,
silent.
Luke, going way back, because he died, you know, in the last few years, was Lou Thesz. He and I were very, very dear friends.
Mm-hmm. How
well,
much
I know with,
actual... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, with Bill, I remember he brought you... Well, actually, I just enjoyed listening to Bill, so that's why you're saying, do you have anything, questions or anything like that? Just his stories are incredible over the years. I wanted to know, because you guys brought up about Memphis, and when they were making the movie, the Andy Kaufman story, Jim Carrey portrayed Andy Kaufman, I just wanted to know what Bill thought of the movie and how he thought the realism that they portrayed or if there were a lot of things that were exaggerated.
This is what people say about wrestling, and I'll tell you about the movie. It was fake. Okay? That funeral never happened. And instead of Andy Kaufman coming to my house and making the connection with Jerry Lawler, he's there kissing his girlfriend, and he says, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. And she says, why? He says, because it's the wrestling capital of the world. And so it was fake. Wrestling was real, but that movie was fake.
That's just amazing.
It was not factual, a lot of what they did with it. I enjoyed it for entertainment. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah. Do you have anything, Mace?
I do, actually. First of all, it's an honor to talk with you, Mr. Apter.
Oh, my pleasure.
Don't call him that. I get yelled at for that.
I'm sorry. I feel like a very small fish in a big pond at the moment.
All right, Mike. Spit it out.
I apologize. I have only seen the Iron Sheik ring roast in which you were involved. I'm just wondering if you're able to elaborate on the Scott Hall drama / incident at the event.
One of the comedians made a horrible joke about Owen Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Which was horrible. And Scott Hall was in the room, and Scott, being Scott Hall, inebriated, whatever else he does, and he admits to that. He always says, you know, somebody hires me, man, you know, this is what you get. So he had broken into the room, and he was trying to disrupt things, and when the Owen Hart thing happened, I could see in his eyes whatever we all picture the devil looking like. His eyes were like the glowing devil eyes, and I thought he was going to kill this guy, and then he looked at me like I had something to do with this thing. I thought he was going to come after me as well. And for the next few months, any time I saw him anywhere, he would be like, yo, what did you let him say that about Owen for? And I finally, at one of the wrestling conventions when I was doing a Q&A and he was in the back, and he brought that up, I don't get mad at anybody, but I said to him, I said, you know what, why don't you just stop it already. I had nothing to do with it. I loved Owen Hart. He was a good friend of mine. End it now. All right? That's it. And he came over to me later and gave me a hug. But that was a very scary situation to be around, because you never know what Scott Hall is going to do. And especially in a volatile situation like that.
Yeah, I saw it on the DVD, and I could definitely understand the situation.
Oh, man.
One other question for you, sir. What advice would you give anybody getting into the wrestling business or trying to make themselves more successful in the wrestling business?
If you really want it, just like any other business, don't let it go. You got to take it maybe small steps at a time, but bust your butt doing it. Get the right training, listen to the right people, and be a yes sir person. When you're first coming up, a lot of the younger guys that I see breaking in today all want to be like everybody else. come up with your own unique style, your own unique character, and say yes to people and make people like you, and then you'll get somewhere.
I got to ask this question before we let you go. Doing research for this interview, I came up with, you apparently hold a championship belt. What
Absolutely.
The heck
is
the championship?
That is the cow
championship. What the heck is the championship office wrestling?
COW is Championship Office Wrestling. And it started off when people used to come up to the PWI office to have their picture taken. Jimmy Valiant was the first guy. He nicknamed me Wonderful Willie. And the name stuck. And we made a cardboard belt. And we had a video camera. And the guys would come up there. And in order for them to get their pictures taken by me, they had to put me over. So we had an hour's worth. So eventually Reggie Parks got a hold of one of the tapes, and he made me an actual gold belt. I bring it to all the wrestling conventions with me. And the Full Willie baby still owns the cow belt. And I've beaten, we have a video of Rob Van Dam and I wrestling with him doing a moonsault off a Xerox machine in the old office. God, Jimmy Snuka, Rey Mysterio, I beat them all. And all these matches took place in an office. The only time there were a couple of accidental losses to Dan Severn, and I eventually beat him with hitting him over the head with a bag of bagels, and it's okay, I don't mind saying that, but I cheated with that. Nobody saw it. And, those tapes eventually, I'd love for everybody to see them, but it's property of like the old PWI staff, and we promised the guys they would never be out. So, but if you ever come, and you're all invited to my apartment, to my house in Dresher, Pennsylvania. Anytime you want to come here, call me a week before and come on down and watch the tapes.
All right, folks, that was the man, the myth, the living legend, Bill Apter. KayfabeCommentaries.com.
The living. Wait a minute. Before, you can't say that. That's Bruno. Now you're going to get Bruno mad at me.
He's mad at everybody, unfortunately.
This brings my Bruno imitation up. You called that Bill Apter guy a living legend. I'm the living legend. Doggone you. Anyway.
KayfabeCommentaries.com is the way to buy the brand new Ringside DVD that Bill Apter co-hosted with another living legend, or as he calls himself, Terry Funk. OneWrestling.com is Bill Apter's home for everything. So if you didn't read any of the spoilers from NXT tonight, don't read them. Read what he's going to write in a few minutes. Thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Apter. Oh, sorry, Bill.
Hey, thank you. It's been my pleasure. And as I always say, I'll see you at the matches.
All right, 888-357-9876, option 1. We're going to reset things. We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little SmackDown, talk a little TNA wrestling. They've got a pay-per-view this Sunday called Slammiversary. Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald will stick around. Mace is going to be sticking around. And hopefully you will, too, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. it's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Cindy Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop. We're that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Sir Rockin' is the greatest rock.
Oh, crap. She woke up. Well, if you really want to find out what her dreams, fantasies, and sexual desires may be, then tune into Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Thursday night. As for me, I guess I'll be there too once I find a way out of this shed she has now locked me in. Cindy, can you please let me out? I'll be good. I promise.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do? Do.
This is one of those songs I don't want to talk. I want to just let it play. Yeah, there's fans that are going, that's not 80s. Yes, it is. NWA 1980s out of the city of Compton. Yes, not the NWO, not the wrestling NWA, an NWA I can't mention. But we do express ourselves here, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us here, whether you're listening to us live on Wild Talk Radio, through OWWRadio.com, which is the somewhat official website of this show. Actually, it's the official. Brad Dykens, the boss, set it up for us. 888, or as Cindy Sin likes to say, 888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Mace from WTR is still here with us. Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald has joined us. We will eventually get into some TNA chat. They do have a pay-per-view Sundays, and we will do the obligatory let's talk about TNA. But we want to address something that was teased on Raw last night in their SmackDown rebound, whatever you want to call it. And that has to be the first nominee for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor Performance by Glenn Jacobs, who goes by Kane, for delivering the eulogy of the Undertaker, who legitimately has been injured thanks to Rey Mysterio and a senton on his face. But we decided, instead of doing that, kids, let's do an 80s-style storyline, which is The Undertaker was found Memorial Day weekend in a vegetative state. And they set up a battle royal to take his place. And they put Rey Mysterio in there. For someone that covers this as in a media aspect, Jim, break down for us your thoughts. And we'll get some fan thoughts in a minute on the whole thing. I mean, WWE is like all about, for a while there, they were like, no, we're not a cartoon anymore. We're the bad guy, good guy thing is passe, as Vince likes to say. And now you've kind of just went complete 360 in The Undertaker's vegetable for like the eighth or ninth time in his career.
Well, Vince McMahon blew up in a car, a limo. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. I have to say this. That was a really good, I thought Kane really cut a nice promo on SmackDown. The circumstances were bizarre, but the promo itself I thought was really well done. I was like, wow, you know, why don't they give Kane more time to talk? I mean, this just, I thought this was going to be something that would elevate him. I thought he would be the one, we'll see if he's the one to win the Battle Royal, if he's in it to take that spot. I didn't like the idea of how they took Taker off by coming up with that creative angle. And maybe if they would have said Taker was beat up and, you know, someone hospitalized him, you know, didn't go so dramatic with the whole thing and tone it down some and still did the Kane bit, I'd take that a little more than what they were doing. But you know what? You bought WWE and they always bring people in to play doctors or lawyers and things like that. And you ever notice they bring these people in and they're always way over the top. I mean, they're just really bad actors or actresses and bring them in. I think WWE enjoys doing that. I think they enjoy creating angles or storylines where they just really go over the top with everything, where people say, well, yeah, you know what, it's still a TV show and it's not like a drama. We're watching some type of drama. They try to put comedy, whether it fails or not, they throw that in the mix. I mean, they just try to do their own brand of whatever. It's B acting and it's mixed with some comedy and all, but when I watch it now, I just don't take it serious. I don't watch it and be like, oh, well, gee, this angle, the storyline isn't going well. They shouldn't do this. They should do that. It's like, you know, again, I'll say it. That's what the fans for WWE want. That's what they watch. And you know, too, also the other thing that's important is since they did go down to PG or whatever length they went down, they are gearing themselves more toward kids. So, I mean, the IQs of kids, no offense, but, I mean, are they really going to look at these things in depth when kids are watching? Go speak to a 10, 11-year-old and see what they think about an angle or storyline, and they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, John Cena's the man. I love Mysterio. You know, that's what they're basing it toward. They're basing the kids, and it gives them a lot of leeway, I guess, to do what they have to do. But people like us, when we watch it, we're like, what is that? Why are they doing it like that? Undertaker was, is he dead? I mean, what are they doing? You know, I'd rather just play up the injury angle and just say, hey, Taker was injured. You know, I mean, then they have to do something else with Kane, but to say Taker's injured, every once in a while they'll do that, and then we got to get someone to replace him. But, you know, it's all creative, and then it always goes back to McMahon. So whatever Mr. McMahon approves with what creative does, that's their thing. That's how I looked at that whole thing, though.
Is it a little weird, gentlemen, that we're 2 weeks away from a TNA pay-per-view, a week away from a TNA pay-per-view, and all their shows are in the can? WWE's got three more shows to go, and they've only got two matches set. You've got the World Championship match, which is now Rey Mysterio, Punk, Jack Swagger, and Big Show. And then WWE's got Cena, Edge, Randy Orton, maybe, maybe not. My arm hurts, doesn't hurt, it hurts, doesn't hurt. And that contingency, is this going to be like a mad scramble to get all these matches booked? I mean, I haven't seen spoilers from tonight's show yet, and don't shout them out if you saw them already, guys. And is this just a little awkward that TNA has actually got their entire event done on time as opposed to WWE, who used to be that way?
I find that this has become more and more common with WWE lately. If you look back in the past, I think some this year, I can't remember exactly when, there were two pay-per-views pretty much felt like they were booked on the fly, that they pretty much scrapped things or added matches on the night just to sort of keep the crowd guessing. I guess maybe that format works for them, possibly. Who knows? And
I think
worry,
a lot
you won't have to worry about spoilers at this point in time because I think everybody's watching NXT.
I think that with all those injuries, that has hindered what they were going to do for that pay-per-view when they have, with Taker, you mentioned, and with Randy Orton, two of their big names that are in the main events. And, would you like them to be a little, I guess, would be a better term, more prepared for these situations? But those are two of their big names. If you look at the depth of WWE, you've got your main big, big stars, but after that, it's like, and no offense to them, it's not their fault, it's just where they're pegged. You got all mid-card guys and the Divas. I mean, you got all these mid-card guys. So it's like, you know, if one of their big names goes down, who do they pop in there? Evan Bourne? No, again, no offense to Evan Bourne. I like Evan Bourne. He does a great job, but there's what you get. You get John Cena and Evan Bourne. And it's like, well, is Evan Bourne ready for that? You know, he did a nice job last week, but do you see where I'm coming with that? So now you're trying to put a pay-per-view together. You're not going to put Evan Bourne in the spot on the pay-per-view, but I think it's one of those things where, hey, we got some injuries. Look, we don't have much depth as far as top guys. So now what do we do? And I think that played a role in that. And TNA, I mean, that's the advantage, I guess, with taping the segments, because they can plan more ahead rather than where WWE is a live show and then a tape show a few days before. And they won't have that luxury. They have to prepare for it. If someone gets injured, someone gets injured. So that's what you do. That's the way I look at it for this round of pay-per-views.
We just want to do a couple quick news notes here. One involves Ted DiBiase Sr. No, we're not going to talk about Junior, and as I like to tweet in the back of police cars, we're going to address the Million Dollar Man, who apparently we want to wish him the best of luck because he had to go under emergency neck surgery. The operation was to free an impingement on a nerve that had apparently been causing him severe pain in his right arm and shoulder. He had gone under the knife many years ago, which resulted in the removal of two discs, and apparently has some personal appearances this coming weekend in France. So we wish him nothing but the best here. We are about the legends and the future people. The other interesting news item to come out is Chris Jericho is really starting to branch out. If you're a fan of VH1 and VH1 Classic, you've seen Chris show up. He was the host of the redo of the 100 Most Shocking Moments in Rock. And then he's shown up in the I Love the 80s and the 90s and this and that. Well, if you're an ABC viewer, he's going to be starting, looks like mid-June, with a 6-episode run of a game show called Downfall. Apparently it's going to air after Wipeout on Tuesday nights. And I think Sorokin had just mentioned he's apparently getting some heat from the locker room already on this. Is he the next big breakout person, Jim, in your aspect? Because you are involved in other aspects of your paper, and you're into pop culture somewhat. Is he the guy that should have been pushed into stuff instead of, like, Ted DiBiase Jr. doing movies and Batista doing mini spots? Cause, I mean, he's doing his own stuff with Fozzie, the band, and then, like I just mentioned, the VH1 stuff. Do you think this is finally Jericho's time to say, you know what, I think I'm done with wrestling, I'd like to give this entertainment thing a shot?
Oh, I don't know if I go that far with it. I think that you mentioned, like, his VH1, he would appear on those shows and give his comments on different songs and all, and he's been doing that for a while. I think it's what, Y2J, we should start calling him Retro J. Jericho, doing a lot of the old stuff back in the 80s and all. Now, you know what, I think Big Show to me would have been the one to be that mainstream type guy. I mean, the guy's funny. The guy can do, I mean, he does so much. It's not just his size. I mean, he brings more to it than just the size factor. I mean, he can follow script and bring, I think he did, didn't he? He did a part, I mean, it was a very small part, in the Adam Sandler movie Waterboy. Mm-hmm. He was Captain Insano or something. I mean, and I remember on Saturday Night Live, he did a really good job one time when Rock was hosting and all. I don't know how the guys they have, he would have been the one to be the guy to break out. Jericho's fine. Jericho's good. They like him. A lot of people in the, I guess, the music scene and all, and you know, VH1, the MTV, the corporate figures there, like Jericho. He's got a good agent, too, so that obviously helps. And by just doing a lot of things he does, it has helped him, and now I guess he's going to try this with the show and all. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't see him. You mentioned like DiBiase getting a movie role, WWE films, obviously Cena, Triple H, they're doing their WWE films. You had Kane doing one, the horror movie. You know, in the past, what, we had Hogan, Piper doing movies every once in a while. But really, let's face it, the only one that's, I mean, am I wrong? And the only one that's been really successful has been The Rock, as far as doing movies or branching out. I mean, maybe Hogan, I guess, would be under that. Not for movies, but just branching out in other mainstream areas. I mean, I think guys like Jericho can do a good job. He'll do well with that. I think he's still going to be in wrestling. I read an interview. I don't remember who did it, but I read an interview, and it said that he was having fun. He was wanting to elevate the younger talent, and there hasn't been no major injuries for him, knock wood, and he still enjoys doing it, so he's still going to do it for a while. And that's what I take on that.
NXT Season 2 didn't even hit the airwaves yet, and there was already some controversy, and it had to do with names. Now, we'll get to the big names in a second. A couple of these names you're not going to know unless you live in the area of Florida and you can watch FCW on Bright House Network. A couple of the names that came up, Titus O'Neil. His real name is Thaddeus Bullard. He, until 2007, was a member of several Arena Football League teams and is a former University of Florida star from the late 90s. If Percy Watson looks familiar to you, that's because he was a part of a tag team called the South Beach Boys with Season 1 NXT guy Darren Young. Eli Cottonwood is a former St. John's of Minnesota basketball player, and I didn't know, he's 35 years old, he doesn't look it. Lucky Cannon, also known as Johnny Prime, has been on the Florida indie scene for a while. And then we gotta address the three names that everybody thinks should be breaking out. You interviewed Caval, we'll get to that in a second. You've also got Wyndham Rotunda turned into Husky Harris. And Joe Henning, known now as Mike McGillicuddy. Here's what Joe Henning had to say on his Twitter account, which it seems like everybody in the free world has this thing except for me, because I'm not getting involved in it. Here's what Joe had to say about his name change. Quote, "A lot of folks are asking me about my name. Let's face it, Michael McGillicuddy is the next generation of the WWE, the next world champion. While on the other hand, Joe Henning was simply the son of Mr. Perfect. I will make a mark in WWE and on NXT by myself, not my name." Also forgot to mention Kevin Kiley, who now is known as Alex Riley. Yes, he is a football jock character. You've seen FCW in person a couple times, and I'm guessing maybe you've seen it on Bright House Sports Network. Give us a quick run on some of these guys that the fans may not have seen. Obviously, the second and third generation guys and Caval are the ones that have probably the most ring time. Break these down as quick as you can.
Well, you mentioned Eli Cottonwood, the giant that's coming in there, still stiff. You know, he's improving. He's got the size, obviously, to his advantage. I don't know if this is going to be his time. You mentioned the former Florida Gator football player, very athletic. He's picked it up very quickly. I don't know much about the South Beach connection. I did see Daniel Bryan, but I don't know much about his partner. I did see them once, so that was hard to, obviously it's hard to judge for that. But together, they did a really nice job, the party guys and all, so that was interesting to see. Who else do we got there, the newer talent?
You've got Alex Riley. I saw Kevin
Alex Riley. Riley. Yeah, Alex Riley. That's Kevin the one. Alex. No, Alex Riley. I like a lot. Alex Riley did do some dark matches with WWE. I can't remember. This is awful. I can't remember the name. He had a cheerleader with him. Well, she wasn't dressed as a cheerleader, but he was on a couple of WWE shows and had a female valet with him. And even then, when he was not known on some of these WWE shows, they came to Florida. The crowd reacted. The crowd, he gave him good reaction. And I saw him at some FCW shows. Good talent in the ring. Got that attitude, got that arrogant to him, his cockiness and all, which is good. You know, at first when I saw him, I thought he was doing a varsity club for anyone that remembers that. I thought he was doing that type of thing.
Or but, slam if you're a Miami, if you're a
oh, good, yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah, that's even better. I think of that with Bruno and Tilly Wright from Phi Delta Slam doing that. He just needs the big paddle. He just needs for that and all. But out of that group, I mean, low key, but Caval, I really like a lot. The ones you mentioned, people know of him. But I really like Alex Riley a lot. That was the one of maybe those that may not be as known that I like a lot from that group that's coming in now.
It should be interesting over the next few weeks. We're going to leave the WWE chat for a while, and we're going to get into some TNA wrestling, folks. As we mentioned, Slammiversary is this Sunday, and amazingly, it looks like your friend of mine, Jeff Hardy, is going to be there. His trial was set to begin and then got moved again. But while his charges were really, really, really heavy stuff, such as felony possession of cocaine, 2 counts of felony possession of intent to redistribute a Schedule III controlled substance. Yes, I sound like a lawyer. I don't know how it happened, but everything got dropped except conspiracy to traffic opium. So Jeff Hardy once again dodges the bullet. Looks like the trial got moved to July. Enough about him because I don't like him. But Impact this past week, fans saw some, it had some interesting promos this past Monday night on Raw and last Friday on SmackDown. This one had some interesting stuff, including an in-ring confrontation with one of my favorite tag teams, Beer Money, and Mr. Anderson and Jeff Hardy. Spug's not joining us for this because Spug hates TNA, but we'll get Mace's thoughts as well on this, and fans can chime in on this. Is anybody really buying this Mr. Anderson face turn, or is this just another setup to get Anderson as a heel? Your thoughts, Mace?
I really don't know what to think about this. It's a very sudden face turn for Mr. Anderson. I don't get me wrong, it's not setting you up to be a bigger heel. This is a legitimate face turn for at least the moment. And, yeah, I just don't know where it came from. And as I've said before, especially when he originally put the handshake out to Jeff Hardy, I know you and I, Alan, were discussing this when it happened on the pay-per-view. It was something that was wasted on Jeff Hardy. This face turn would have worked better during the whole Kurt Angle feud with Mr. Anderson. But, yeah, I really don't know what to make of it. The tag team at this pay-per-view seems really, I don't know, offside to me, to put it in at least some perspective anyway. But, I'll go with it. It's wrestling.
Yeah, it's weird to see the fans, and I'm a person that was at TNA events, no, it didn't work for TNA Wrestling, Aaron Kendrick, I covered them. To see these guys, the fans were just, and this is the same impact zone that had the Bentley bounce and the Abyss chant. Now they're calling everybody in the, it's just, they're all assholes now. And it's, as, you know, we were talking about the entertainment value on Raw last night, Jim. Are you enjoying this whole Ken Anderson almost as uncensored as you can get on the microphone, or are you going, God, I wish he would just shut up and wrestle?
With Mr. Anderson we're talking, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, first of all, I like him as a heel. I like him as a bad guy. I don't like him doing the good guy. And he was best, for me, he was best when he was on SmackDown. Then since they put him from SmackDown to Raw, he got lost in the shuffle, then he had the injuries, then when he came back, he Randy Orton the whole deal there, landing on his shoulder, et cetera, and then all of a sudden, you see him gone, now he's with, TNA. I like him as a heel. I think the segment here, I hope he turns on Jeff. Goes back to being the bad guy. The angle with him and Kurt Angle, I thought was well done. I thought he did a great job with that. I like him more as the bad guy. I wanted to go back to though about Jeff, and because you mentioned that a lot of these charges got dropped, and now there's only one charge, I guess, that's still there on him. I talked to two people in law enforcement when this was all happening. Not there, not in North Carolina, but down here in Florida. And they mentioned two things about two of the charges. Because he had so much different types of, whatever he was caught with, marijuana, any type of cocaine, all these different types, opium, all these substances. Anybody that has that much in their car, in their home, wherever, on them, they're automatically going to get charged with trying to sell, because law enforcement is initially going to think, why do you have so much? You must be trying to sell this stuff. So two of the charges were dropped because obviously they didn't have enough evidence on him to say that you were actually trying to sell this to other people. You were trying to just, so they sort of knew that those probably were going to get dropped unless they really had some hard evidence against him that he was actually selling it to other people somewhere, somehow, and all. So the thing I want to also say to that. So there you go with that. Now, the other thing I want to say to that is, too, he had all this on him. I don't think anyone's denying this, or at least I haven't seen any police report. I haven't read anything that denies this. I think people have to be, why the heck, if he had all this in his possession, I mean, are we concerned about him? I mean, really, are we concerned about him and his health and his well-being of what's going on here? I mean, was part of it legalized? Prescription medication, some of it wasn't. I mean, they're talking about, oh, well, he wasn't trying to sell it, oh, well, you know, wait till the truth comes out, wait till the truth comes out. Well, I mean, part of the truth is he had all these things. Is anybody helping him? This is what really, I mean, is it TNA? I'm all for, look, you can't make somebody do something, and I totally understand that, but you know, are they talking? Is anyone talking with him? How does his brother feel about this? I know his brother's there by his side. I mean, that's his brother. Is it too much for us to know? Is Jeff getting any help for any of this? Is this where part of the problems with Jeff in the past, more than just his immaturity for things and all? I mean, I really, this is one person right now I would watch. I mean, everyone talked about Scott Hall, things that's been with Scott. I know Bill Apter brought up about Scott Hall. We were talking about that. I really am concerned right now with Jeff Hardy and just where this is going outside of the ring for him. But I just wanted to get that out there. But that's what I feel with that, and also Mr. Anderson.
Your thoughts on one of the people in the chat room brought this up. Probably one of the most mishandled wrestlers on their roster since he's arrived. The storyline that's been going with Samoa Joe. How do you explain this? And there's been talk about logic and wrestling as the dumbest thing ever, but you kidnap the guy, throw him in a van. He disappears for weeks. We show a hostage video of some kind. I don't know. Next thing you know, he's back, and not once has he talked on the microphone. And I'm sorry, I honestly think from day one in 2005 when he debuted and kicked the daylights out of Sanjay Dutt till now, he's one of the most misused people on this roster. I'm trying to articulate words here, but I can't, man, because it just ticks me off every week to watch Samoa Joe and just go, yeah, what's going on here? If I'm wrong, please tell me.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm not going to say you're wrong. Look at Samoa Joe. Look at his size. Look at his type of body. Now you have I can't speak for the past, I mean, he had those great angles and storylines for Kurt Angle. That was really well done, I thought. When you look at Samoa Joe, think about since the Hogan-Bischoff era has started, and, you know, this even goes with creative, i.e. Vince Russo, now working, trying to work with the Hogan-Bischoff era here in TNA. They're pushing what they remember pushing. They're going with what they remember. And the thing was, you don't really push a guy that looks like Samoa Joe, and you treat the women like secondary eye candy, and they're filler matches. And the funny thing is, some of the better segments on the show before they got there were the actual ladies wrestling and Samoa Joe. So the argument is, has it hurt the ratings? Well, not too much. It really hasn't. Has it helped the ratings? No. So it's still too early, I think, to tell the overall parameters of the whole thing. But if you look at the ratings, I mean, they made a mistake with Monday Night, but you had to take that. You had to take that chance. I do not fault TNA at all. I applaud them for that. I also applaud TNA for going back to Thursdays and saying, "Hey, all right, this didn't work. Let's just move on from here and do what we need to do." Unfortunately, though, I don't see anything in the horizon very positive Samoa Joe, unless there's a change in those in charge of the actual creative and the storylines, and that's all of them. So,
instead of running every single match on this pay-per-view, which I'm not going to do, there's 9 of them here, and they tried to do it on the Wrestle Talk radio show, and I think Spug tried to kill himself. Not legitimately, there's no murder or rape on these shows. We're PG rated. If you look at the list of stuff on TNAWrestling.com, besides the obvious Rob Van Dam versus Sting match, is there a particular match that you're looking at, Jim and Mason, going, that's the match that can save this pay-per-view from being an absolute car wreck?
I don't think there's anything that can save this from being a car wreck.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I can't say something that I don't just, I, that's the best thing. When I don't have an answer, I just say I don't know.
Okay, well, let me swing it to you this way. As someone that has been, I have attended Slammiversary 2005, 6, and 7.
Yes.
And saw King of the Mountain in person. Are you as a wrestling fan sitting there going, thank God they got rid of this match? Or are you sitting there going, where did the tradition go? You already took away the 6 sides of steel from the fans. You took away the 6-sided ring because guys like the Nasty Boys said, not 6, can't, no, too many more ropes, can't do it. Is that something that you wish would have stayed, or are you glad King of the Mountain is gone? First to Jimmy, then.
Yeah, I like, all right, thank you. I like King of the Mountain, and I like the tradition. I always like, I'm glad, I know we're not talking WWE anymore, but I'm glad WWE is keeping the name Survivor Series, because there
was going to mention that. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, I was going to say, because there was still, but I think it plays part to this with TNA, with Slammiversary. Yeah, that was part of the tradition. Keep it going. People enjoyed it, I think, for the most part, the majority. You get people that, some people always say, I didn't like this, or some people might, a few people might say, I did like this, but in the majority, which is what rules still, I really believe that, they liked that match, and they liked it at Slammiversary. So, yeah, I do. I'd rather see that. And I just think that, you know, again, oh, you mentioned 6 sides, though. 6, I have to, I will say this, though. I will say against this, though. Matt Morgan, who else? Kaz. I wish I could go down the line. There were like 7 or 8 TNA wrestlers, not the older wrestlers, not the ones just brought in, who were glad they weren't going to 6 sides, and they were going back to 4 sides. How about that? They said it's easier to work a match with 4 sides of ring, and especially the bigger guys. Kaz isn't one of the bigger guys. Matt Morgan is. Especially the bigger guys, they say it gives them more room to operate with 4 sides than 6, just the angle of the ring and how they are when they're prone in the ring or doing moves. Kaz brought that up from a standpoint of going off the ropes and all. So there was other wrestlers, and I really don't pin this on the Nasty Boys, whatever they say, good for them. They've done their thing for a long time. God bless them. But it really was a lot of the younger guys, too, they were not putting up any picket signs or doing anything like that because they were going from six sides to four. They actually were okay with it going back to four. So I could see where people that were like, hey, this was our thing to set us apart from WWE. This was different. But there wasn't that much with the wrestlers squawking about going from six to four, at least for the bunch that I spoke to.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Mace, on the disuse of King of the Mountain?
It's a shame to see it go. It's become what was the staple of Slammiversary. It was pretty much their version of, like, WrestleMania. You know, WrestleMania is their big headliner. The match that became associated with that in recent years was the Money in the Bank match. Same with Slammiversary. You know, TNA's biggest event. They had a big ladder match thing for a world title shot. Or the world title in some cases. And to get rid of something like that is pretty much the TNA version of, like, the WWE getting rid of the Royal Rumble. It just doesn't really make any sense. As for the six-sided ring, it's somebody who has actually worked in one of them. They're an amazing ring to work in, but yes, I can see where guys like Matt Morgan are coming from, where they can get confused in the ring quite easily. Believe me, the first time I set foot in a six-sided ring, I stood in the middle looking around going, which ropes do I hit? You know, I had no idea what to do. It throws your whole perception off. But yeah, getting rid of things doesn't exactly make a product better, but as you've already pointed out, ratings haven't gone up, ratings haven't gone down, so I don't really think that's a loss in TNA's area.
I wanted to add something too about the whole thing there with the pay-per-view, and when you have that's their big pay-per-view, Slammiversary, and when you have new people coming in making decisions and they're making all these changes because they're new and okay, we're new people, they're bringing us in, well, we've got to do things differently because that's why they're bringing us in. They're not bringing us in to just be status quo. That's why they're paying us money and bringing us in. But I always go back to Paul Heyman. He always said, if you have got a wrestler, and he's a good worker, and he can't do a dropkick, why would you script him to do a dropkick? You don't. If he works well without doing a dropkick, then don't ask him to do a dropkick. And the same thing can be said for shows. If a show is working and a match is working, why are you going to change it? Basically, it's the if it's not broke, don't fix it type of thing. And there's a lot to be said for that.
888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. That is Jim Barcelona, the Miami Herald. He has a wonderful column that you can find through the MiamiHerald.com. He does, as mentioned, he does interviews with all the top stars in the industry. You can Skype Sir Rockin' if you want to be that way. And we're going to take a break here at this point because we're going to try to track down our scheduled second guest, Mr. Colt Cabana. I do apologize for the issue of getting Cabana. But in the meantime, enjoy this musical selection, and we'll be back here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
I hope you're ready for me, now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the Humpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to bump thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this, straight gangsta Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' pants, and I even got my own dance. Come on. I'll do the Humpty Hump. Come on and do the Humpty Hump. Check it out.
do you know what I'm doing? Doing my Humpty Hop.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. Do you want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network,
wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Oh my god. If everybody's going, where do I know that song from? Mace is the one who asked for it, since we were in the 80s mode here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you grew up like I did and you saw the original Transformers, no, not the one that Megan Fox got fired from, the real old one that Optimus Prime actually died at the end of the movie. That's Stan Bush. That song actually got made fun of by Mark Wahlberg, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Boogie Nights a few years ago. And I'm watching that movie, and I'm going, dude, that's the no frickin' way. We're still waiting on Cole Cabana. He did send an email saying he was having some Skype issues, which is the way he was going to get to us. So before anybody goes on onlineworldofwrestling.com, Genesis Forum, and mocks us for not being prepared and professional, when you have technical difficulties with technology, kids, there's not much we can do about it. Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald is still here with us. Mace from WrestleTalk Radio is still here with us. They will be live this Sunday at 11 o'clock after Slammiversary, and Tim Stein has blessed me with the opportunity to join them afterwards so we can either bury this pay-per-view into the ground like they've done the last couple months or praise it for its absolute greatness. Now, I know this isn't Otaku Talk on Wednesdays with Mace and friends, but we're going to get into some video game stuff here as we wait for Colt Cabana. He said he may not be coming at 11 o'clock. He's really trying to get his Skype to, and Mace knows from the history of Skype that sometimes they let you talk, and other times it's like, you don't get to talk, go in a corner and go away. If you're a fan of WWE video games, Jim Ross let it be known on, I believe it's either his Twitter or his blog, that he's been contracted to be a part of another WWE video game, kind of along the lines of English. I'm working on it. Really, I am. A Legends of WrestleMania type video game where it's taking the stars of the past and merging them with the stars of the present. Now, I am not big into the video games. God, I mean, I suck at TNA Impact. I'll admit it. I'm horrible. I have taken forever just to learn how to pin somebody. And I've used Christopher Daniels as a character, and I figure Fallen Angel will grace me with the knowledge. I asked Jay Lethal at an indie show, dude, how do I do this? He's like, I don't play Wii. It's like, ah, crap. If you could pick be a part of this video game concept, fans, especially the folks in our chat room on wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. And we'll give the hosts a couple minutes here and the co-hosts a couple minutes here, and even Sirach can join it here. Give me a couple people as a video game person of the past. Now, I'm not sure, Jim Ross didn't say how far in the past we're going, so I don't know if they're delving back into the Antonina Rocca, Gorgeous George, Bruno Sammartino, Nature Boy Buddy Rogers era wrestling, or it's just going to be the 80s guys, but I'll give mine to buy some time for Mace and Jim and the fans to get involved in this. I would like to see, in a video game format, Triple H and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. Just for the fact that if fans don't have access to YouTube or some of these Legends DVDs that have been out over the years, go back through the WWE Hall of Fame stuff and look up Nature Boy Buddy Rogers before he was the initial WWW, yeah, I got the three W's in there, four W's, I added one, sorry, F champion. And then unfortunately did his bit where he transitioned the championship to Bruno Sammartino, who held it for 8 very amazing years. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers makes Nature Boy Ric Flair look like nothing on the microphone. And Triple H, when he wants to, can cut a promo. That's one that I have in my mind. Aftermarket on Room has Ultimate Warrior versus Triple H. Not the one from WrestleMania or SummerSlam 95, but the current Triple H. That could be an interesting matchup as well. There's some of the modern guys, like a Bryan Danielson we had mentioned last week when we did our Owen Hart type setup. The fans wanted to see an Owen Hart versus Bryan Danielson match. There's some guys from the old AWA, like a Billy Robinson or a Vern Gagne or even a Greg Gagne, who could probably give Bryan Danielson an amazing technical matchup. Okay, I'm tired of buying time for the Mace. You're the otaku. Say your show's name, please, because I'm butchering it.
Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I was supposed to plug it.
No, you did wonderful. Give me some. Do you have anybody in your mind? Have you written them down on a sheet and going, I like that one? No, I don't. Yes, I do.
It's extremely weird to sort of go through because the way THQ, the guys that are making it, sort of operate, I think the license only goes back to the 1980s.
Oh, that's how it works? That's, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be much in the vein of Legends of WrestleMania, which is the previous game that they put out. From what I've been reading, it's done in the same style as that look as well. So everybody's going to look very cartoony and big and over-muscled. But, yeah, I'm actually agreeing with Aptermark in the chat room. Take The Undertaker from, like, the 1990s and put him up against The Undertaker today.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, because not only was the gimmick slightly different back then and the look and everything, he was pretty much completely different wrestler, because you've got to realize today Undertaker uses a lot more ground-based MMA style punches and holds and everything, whereas back in the day when he first came in, you know, he was doing the big rope walks without a problem. He was doing the jumping clothesline, which absolutely looks spectacular no matter when he does it. And yeah, to put him up against himself would be an amazing sort of comparison, really.
And anybody maybe, popping in? Go ahead.
Maybe also in that type of vein of same gimmicks, same style of gimmicks anyway, take Andre the Giant and put him up against the Big Show. Because if anybody remembers, when the Big Show was originally in WCW under the name The Giant. Originally, he was billed as the son of Andre.
Hey, I'm the son of Andre the Giant, so... Everybody's related to everybody in the wrestling business. Come on.
I think you can only be related to Andre if you can drink 16 bottles of wine in one sitting.
Yeah, that could be part of the video game. Have a simulated drinking contest with Andre the Giant. Tim White tells some stories that you would never believe if you ever had a chance to. I think it was A&E did a biography on him, and the legend of Andre as a drinker puts anyone in the indie scene in shame. Cowboy James Storm would be sitting there going, you win, dude.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Miami Herald is still here with us. I'm sorry, Mace. Go ahead.
I was just about to say, yeah, a drinking contest. Andre the Giant, James Storm, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and JBL. Who would win?
Darby2 in the chat room wants to see former WWF champion Bob Backlund versus the American Dragon Bryan Danielson. That's an interesting one, too, especially with his amateur background. Anything coming to mind, Jim, or are you kind of like my wife and going, I hate wrestling games, I don't want to be near this crap?
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not a huge wrestling game person, but when they come in and we have to write about them or something, I'll give it a test and see. But I wrote some matches down. You mentioned Buddy Rogers, the original Nature Boy. So obviously when I went there, you had Nature Boy against Triple H. I went Nature Boy versus Nature Boy. Not Buddy Landell, but actually Nature Boy Ric Flair versus Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. And then I went Macho Man Randy Savage versus Black Machismo Jay Lethal. And then I went with Kurt Angle versus Lou Thesz. And then I went my two matches, which hopefully will be very short, but play up to, I guess, through the years what they've had against each other, if so, which would be the living legend Bruno Sammartino in a steel cage match against Mr. McMahon. And the last one, which probably much of a match, but it would be interesting, especially with what's been going on lately, would be Jim Cornette versus Vince Russo.
Oh, God.
Ooh, bloodbath.
Darby brought up someone that I'm actually friends with. Black Machismo Jay Lethal against former NWA Florida World Tag Team Champion, the Black Nature Boy Scoot Andrews. I know to us in Florida he's known, but on the national scene, Scoot did do some work for Ring of Honor back a while back. He had done some WWE darks over the years.
Right.
I like the Black Machismo Randy Savage one. If we can steal Jay Lethal from, maybe put Jay Lethal in as like one of those Easter egg like characters that you gotta unlock and
make your own character.
Absolutely. Aftermark in the room has brought up former Intercontinental Champion and current road agent Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus current Intercontinental Champion Kofi Kingston.
That would be pretty good. You get both have that aerial attack. Kofi's very solid in the ring. Ricky Dragon Steamboat could have worked with the paper bag or phone cord. He worked with anything, so that would be a nice matchup. He mentions Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I read something. I wish I didn't give proper credit. I apologize, but I read something yesterday, and it noted that Ricky the Dragon was trying out to be one of the trainers at FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling in Tampa, where they get all the next guys from and all. They had tried, I guess, who did they try from the Midnight Express? Dennis Condrey, I want to say?
Dennis Condrey.
And now they're going to try Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and that's a nice collection there, what they have at FCW.
Yeah, Sir Rockin', our producer's joining in with us. He's got two choices. He would like to see current GM of Raw, Bret the Hitman Hart against Bryan Danielson, and this is an interesting one, the late Ravishing Rick Rude against the current straight edge superstar, CM Punk.
Oh,
that would be
good. I got another one for you. Superfly Jimmy Snuka versus Evan Bourne.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. We've got two more
from the room. Put him in a cage.
Yeah. We've got two more from the room. Darby 2 has the late Flying Brian Pillman versus, I'm guessing that Brian Kendrick? Not Aaron Kendrick. Aaron can't wrestle. He's underage. We also have Aftermark signing in with George the Animal Steel versus Mankind.
Who can eat the most turnbuckles in 60 seconds.
And then Darby came right back with Ravishing Rick Rude versus the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels.
I'm seeing that Darby 2 is very much heading towards the TNA direction, even though we originally said it was a WWE game.
Yeah,
but
WWE
created wrestlers, go for it.
Yeah, hey, we broke the space-time continuum last week where we had people from way further back coming into Russell Owen.
I'm thinking of Lance Storm, because they always, the knock on Lance Storm was the boring knock, even though I thought Lance Storm was very good. And I was trying to see the Lance Storm against someone comparable today. Who would be today's Lance Storm that you could put him in a match with on the
Danielson.
Video game? Yes, that is. That's what they got for Brian Danielson. That is the version today of Lance Storm.
Yep. Jersey Girl is joining in. She wants Bret Hart versus AJ Styles? That, man, you never know. He was once a developmental talent, or was real, real close to being one.
You know, with this, someone like that, that's interesting, because you mentioned with AJ. AJ Styles, what a great talent. And everyone you speak to, wrestlers, people behind the scenes, people that know, I mean, they just rave about AJ, and rightfully so. But you know what? That could be another guy, though, that could very easily get lost in the WWE shuffle. There have been several talented people, as we know. They just don't have anything for them, or that's what they say, because whoever's on top. But I just see someone like AJ, if he did go to WWE, I think it would be a very, very difficult time for him to reach that upper echelon, if he did ever reach that upper echelon. I'm glad he's where he is and doing what he's doing, because he's the top of the mountain there, right at the top of the mountain, compared to going to WWE and being like, oh, am I going to get, you know, is this going to work out? Am I going to get buried? What's going to happen to me, type of thing. Sting had said he didn't go to WWE when that whole WWE thing went down, because of the fact he saw how WWE was treating the WCW guys that did come over. And he said the thing for me, why I didn't sign with them, he says, yeah, they travel the schedule, but you get used to it, what you're doing. He said, but the real key was he was watching Rock and Booker T stormed on the scene. And Booker T cleaned house. And he's in the ring, and all of a sudden Rock's there, and Rock looks at him and goes, who in the blue hell are you? And right there Sting said, okay, you know what, this may not be a good idea for me to even go here to WWE. So, someone like AJ, I'm just glad for AJ. He is where he is.
888-357-9876, option one is the way to join us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Welcome to hour number three, with our fingers and our buddy Christ in the corner crossed, hoping that the man known as Colt Cabana will be able to join us here. If you're joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio, we are talking about the Jim Ross mentioned in his blog, a brand new WWE video game is currently in the works. Well, Jersey Girl in our room, and she wants to know, can we include divas? Sure, why not? She wants the living, I gotta call her a living legend, because I was a big mark of her in the 80s. The sensational one, Sherry Martel, against a lot of teenagers' favorite dream, Trish Stratus. I mean, they haven't talked divas in a game, so who knows? We got a couple other ones here. Oh, Mace, are you kidding me? You want Cyndi Lauper versus Jillian Hall in a singing contest? That was last night on the show. I kept waiting for Cyndi's, I don't know.
Oh, come on, that'd be good for a laugh, man. Come on.
I'm not sure if this match ever happened in reality. Randy McWilliams wants The Rock versus Diamond Dallas Page in a People's Champion match. And then we've got another one here from Darby 2, we've got Sheamus and Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan and John Cena. Wow.
That would be pretty good, man. Yeah, that's a good one. Especially, I like that. Out of all the ones I've heard so far, I like that one.
I actually prefer her other choice, actually. Nikolai Volkov and Vladimir Kozlov versus Santino Marella and Captain Lou Albano.
Yeah, that is an interesting one.
Because you got to think about it, especially with the way WWE booking Santino at the moment as the sort of fall guy to the guest hosts, and Lou Albano, God rest his soul, I could just see them coming out with Lou in the old Super Mario gear, and Santino would definitely come out as Luigi.
Oh, God. She's also, a couple other people to mention, one Aftermark mentioned, former Intercontinental and World Tag Team Champion, and at one point, I believe, New Jersey public school teacher Tito Santana versus the Masterpiece Chris Masters. That's an awkward one. I have no idea how that one would work.
I'd say with Chris Masters, you'd go with Rick Rude in the old pose downs that he used to do with Lex Luger back in the day.
Oh, have him do the whole thing where he did with Ultimate Warrior, the muscle showdown thing?
Yeah.
That would be interesting, too. Who works this game anyway? Who's the actual controller of this game? You said you saw it somewhere. Who's actually running the game?
The development company at the moment for the game is THQ San Diego, who previously worked on the TNA Impact game. They have said there's going to be more of an arcade-y feel rather than a simulator like the SmackDown vs. Raw series is, which is also getting its own new release of SmackDown vs. Raw 2011. So this new game is definitely a new game. It's not a replacement for the previous game series.
That's interesting. And if you like what he's saying, he's got a cool show on tomorrow night, which we'll pub later on in the evening. We're good at pubbing that stuff.
Are we allowed to talk about it next, or we're not? But just end it. Are we allowed to talk about it or not?
You That's can, not yeah. I've DVR'd the event.
Oh,
so.
I don't want to ruin it for you. one of the luxuries here tonight is I'm able to turn the TV to watch next while I'm here. I'm working at my office tonight, so basically I was able to watch, and at least I checked out a little bit of the ending here, which was very interesting. But I don't want to spoil it then if you didn't see it yet.
Oh, spoil. Go right ahead.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, the fun thing tonight was at the end of Next is you had the season two guys in the ring, and you had the pros in the ring. And I couldn't hear a lot of it. We're, you know, in the middle of doing your show and everything, so I want to be respectful to your show, obviously. But I glanced up. They were showing, like, the whole what happened last night. And then I guess what Matt Stryker did after they showed it, he was asking the next guys what they thought of what happened, I think. I'm pretty sure. But so then after they did that, all of a sudden the pros just destroyed all the next guys. They just took them all out. The pros just beat them all up, threw them out of the ring, and, you know, the last shot you have tonight is the WWE pros all in the ring, and all the next guys just destroyed outside the ring. So that's what they ended up doing. Even though it was the same ones as last night, it was the next two guys. So that's how they ended with tonight's show and all. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, without going into the spoilers, I got friends here in the Tampa area that were going to the forum to watch the show.
And, okay.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I actually worked there a few times, so it was kind of weird to see. I worked for their guest services area, so it was kind of weird to see people like Joey Machete and some of the Florida guys walking backstage and like, oh, you like, what do you think? I lied about working here. It's kind of hard to lie about working here. Darby 2 has brought up an interesting all-Canadian European match. The late Chris Benoit, Lance Storm, the Dynamite Kid versus Davey Boy Smith, the late Owen Hart, and Chris Jericho?
Oh, wow.
That's an interesting one as well there.
Wouldn't that be a six-man Stu Hart dungeon match?
Yeah, I wonder if that was done in Calgary. I wonder if that was done in Calgary Stampede Wrestling, somewhere back in the archives or something.
I don't know. I'll ask Tim Stein. He used to be involved with Stampede Wrestling once upon a time.
I know on that Hart DVD that came out, the Hart Family, they have Dynamite Kid and was it Davey Boy, Dynamite and Davey Boy against, well, of course they had Jim Neville, Neidhart, and Bret Hart. They did that WWE match, but even they had something in Calgary where they had a bunch of, but I don't know if Jericho was in the match, so, but that would be interesting too to find out, because that may have been one that actually was done.
Hey, on that note, we're going to take a break here. We're going to try to get a Colt Cabana one more time. We're really hoping that Skype and his phone would stop being mean to us. I do apologize to the listeners that were expecting Colt. Like I said, technology is a pain in the ass sometimes. So 888-357-9876 option 1. If you're in the WTR chat room, stay with us. You can Skype Sir Rockin'. I'm Alan Wojcik, and this is All My World of Wrestling Radio.
Run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro? Check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pillman, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggerman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rockin', the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And, well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Sir Rockin is the greatest... Rock?
Oh, crap. She woke up. Well, if you really want to find out what her dreams, fantasies, and sexual desires may be, then tune into Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Thursday night. As for me, I guess I'll be there too once I find a way out of this shed she has now locked me in. Cindy, can you please let me out? I'll be good. I promise.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Triple 8 357 9876 option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio. This is probably going to tick off everyone in our chat room, but it looks like we are not going to be able to have Colt Cabana on tonight. You can get your refunds at the door from our door person here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, who has decided she's tired of sitting there and not talking. I bring to you the voice of Anything Goes on this network and other shows. She is the sinful queen of WTR. Very lovely Cindy Sin has decided to grace us here on Online World of Wrestling with her presence. Good evening, Cindy.
Okay, Alan, what do you want?
Explain, we talked on Anything Goes Thursday night, which was an absolute shock to me. I'm sitting there talking to her and all of a sudden she's like, my co-host isn't here. Come on our show. And I'm like, it's not wrestling. I don't know what I'm doing. Say, like, who cares? Just come on. Talk. We talk anything. Hence the name, Anything Goes. And next thing she mentioned,
it was a good show, too.
Yes, it was very entertaining. I learned lots, and I'm sure there's kids sitting there going, I didn't know that when I started listening, and now I'm like, my virgin ears are destroyed. She told me this, kids. She says, I hate wrestling except for one thing. And that's John Cena. Oh, he's, what is it with John Cena and women? I don't get it. Other than the obvious, he looks like Mark Wahlberg thing.
I don't see Mark Wahlberg at all. I just think he's actually really, really hot. Can't act at all, but oh, he's hot.
Are we like totally, do we bore the crap out of people on this network, or are they just going like, we're happy you're here? Because we didn't like the previous regime, they didn't like any of our shows, or are you just like, God, this guy's a total tool?
That's not very nice.
Well, you had that Mav guy on the other night, and Mason, all of them, you know, make fun of him. Pitch me this kid. I haven't listened to his show. And you had said the other night, well, I've listened to everyone on the network except for you because you stink. I'm kidding. She didn't say that. What's so great about this Mav guy? I don't know anything about him. I mean, what?
That's the thing. There's nothing great about this Mav guy. And so everybody always rags on him.
And now, how long have you actually been a part of this network? I'm totally new at it, so...
Oh, geez. Since October of last year.
And you seem to have a love-hate relationship with some of the people on this network, including our current super cool tech producer, who, that's how I found out who she was, because that was one of the first commercials Rock played for me, and I'm going like, okay, wow, that's an interesting commercial. And they're like, yeah, she does commercials for all of us. And I was like, really? And I type Brad Dykens. I'm like, I want the girl in a promo. He says, you got to talk to the other people on the show about it. And I'm like, oh, God, we're in trouble. So,
just for the record here, the first commercial that Rock and I did, it was back and forth about him being the host of CB Radio, but I'm the host, and I sound... Like, yeah. Anyway, I sound terrible on that, but he sent me the script for it. I'm really not that mean.
Oh, yes, you are. I listened to you the other night. She's all sweet and innocent, and she talks on the microphone, and the next thing you know, the light was switched, and this woman that was on turned into this venom-filled rage person. I was like, whoa, what happened? I brought you on because you... I let Mace pimp his shows. I want you to pimp for us. Not that way. Get your heads out of the, heads out of the curb, audience. Talk about the shows you've got here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, first and foremost, there's Anything Goes, which is Thursday nights. Supposed to be 10:30 Eastern, but I'm actually never around for that. So it's been later and later. But, yeah. As it says in the title, Anything Goes, sex, dating, relationships. Apparently there's cars involved, but I don't think we've ever talked cars. In any case, have random people. Nick, if anybody knows who he is always on my show, and Sir Rockin is always on the show. Because he can't seem to shut up, ever.
He can chime in if he wants. He's got a microphone in front of him, or does he?
He normally does, but normally there's someone in the room with him.
Oh.
And it's not me tonight.
Interesting. That's the only show you do? I thought you were a part of the CB Radio on the weekends. Or is that when you're not going out to the great drinking establishments through Canada?
The great drinking, yeah, that includes our one little podunk bar here in my town. Terrible, terrible bar. No, actually, I normally work every other Saturday, and then I've been babysitting lots for my friend, so my weekends are normally filled, so I don't really, not on the show all that often, but it is a great show, CB Radio, midnight-ish Saturday nights. You can join.
Yeah, I got yelled at for doing that. They're like, you can't say Niner-ish. I go, why? I says, because that shtick's been used already by people. I was like, damn.
Yeah,
pretty much. I wanted to do that. I wanted to have that. I wanted to, well, I didn't want to go like the, you know, the whole, you know, 9 sharp thing. Because if I'm on at 9:01 and 30 seconds, someone in that Genesis is going to go, you said 9, dude. You late. So, I'm sorry that we ran
around 9.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank everyone that's been a part of the WildTalkRadio.com chat room and interacting with us. And that's the thing that's going to happen each and every week here. And some people asked, who's your guest next week, dude? And I'm like, I don't have one yet. I can tell you on the show on the 22nd, the number one contender to the Women's Superstars Uncensored Championship, Miss Alicia, will be joining us to talk about that event. That's going to be taking place on the 26th in New Jersey. I'll get you more information on that as we go along. Once again, I want to apologize to everybody that we were hoping to have Colt Cabana and I'm sure the previous regime on the show, and I'm never going to say your names on the air, and I know it drives you freaking nuts, and I wish you the best of luck with that show that's on the network. Oh, wait, no, it's not. So, Bill Apter was a legend. Awesome. I'm sounding like Jim Rome. I'm sorry. Since Mace can't talk, I'll talk for Mace. He has Otaku Talk on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. As Cindy mentioned, she's here on Thursday night. I may join her. I may not. All depends when I get done. If I'm done after watching Impact I'm going to bed. I'm not. I'm going to bed. I'm not.
I'm pretty sure I could convince you to come on the show again.
Oh, yeah. And if you're, what is the Rock? Type in for me. What's that kid's show on Friday? Or do we not want to give up? It's called Running the Ropes, and he's on at 6 p.m., 7 p.m. before his bedtime. I don't know. I mean, he sounded like a real young guy, so it was
Which is funny because I'm the youngest one on the network.
All right. Can Mace talk yet? Did Mace lose his voice? He's gone.
I don't think it's, I've lost my voice, I think.
There he is! Good God, he's coming the door! The
Yay! The internet right. likes me for the moment.
Yes. Alright, so we already mentioned Otaku Talk tomorrow night. And as I mentioned, I will be blessed with the honor of being a part of Wrestle Talk Radio this Sunday, thanks to Tim Stein and
honor.
Omega
yeah,
and Spug. And if Will can get away from the brothel that he's got running in wherever he's from. And on that show, we're gonna talk Slammiversary 2010. And as someone that was at the original TNA show in 2002, if you had told me then that in 2010 I'd be sitting here talking TNA to this day, I probably would have slapped you in the face and called you funny names. I couldn't be happier as a fan of the company that they're here after 8 years. I may not always be a big fan of where they're going, but, you know, that's the fun part of this network. So I want to thank Cindy Sin for coming on. I want to thank Mace.
I have a question for you first.
Oh, question. The answer is 42. That's always the answer.
No, it's not. 51 is. But since you asked why I like John Cena, why do you like Maryse?
Why do I like Maryse? Do you have to look? I'll put it to you this way. My wife hates wrestling. She openly admits it. But before we stopped the work, I was working for Florida Championship Wrestling in their infancy days before the Ohio Valley Wrestling guys came down. And Maryse was here in the Tampa area, and we worked a show at the Florida State Fairgrounds, which is kind of like how the Calgary Stampede exists or the TNA, where TNA did their shows in Nashville. And before that, she just looks like, when you look at her on TV, and yes, we're going to take kayfabe and throw it into the pool and let it drown for a minute here. We'll throw it a life vest in a minute. And you look at her and you go, wow, she's stunningly beautiful. Her hair is way over bleach blonde, but she's stunningly beautiful. And then this girl walks over to you and in this French Canadian voice, she talks anything but wrestling. My wife and I got into it, like a 25-minute talk with her about techno music and dance clubs and everything. And I'm just going, wow, okay. It was like how my mom back in the day, her favorites when I was younger watching, and this does age me, was when Razor Ramon was in his prime. And she was flying, we were living in New York at the time. She flew from Florida, Orlando area, back up to New York. And in this flight, happens to be a very tall gentleman, slick back hair, toothpick behind the ear. She doesn't know. And then all of a sudden, he got up to go to his restroom. And then he came back, and that's when the light bulb went off mom's head. And she goes, oh, crap, that's Razor Ramon. They end up at the luggage area the exact same time, and he's got one of those steel Halliburton cases, and she turns, hell with it, I'm going to do it, turns him and says, you're Razor Ramon, aren't you? And instead of the, hey, yo, out comes Scott Hall from Minnesota. And she just said that was it. She can never watch Scott Hall the same way again. That's kind of how it is with Maryse for me. Yes, she's a visually stunning young lady, but it's also to just go, wow, you know, for someone, it's like along the lines of Cindy. When you look at the picture of Cindy on her website, which is cindysyn.com, cindysynn.com, you look at that picture and you go, yeah, but she's just, you know, good looks and that's it. You look at Maryse and you go, wow, there's a brain in there, and they're not going to let it ever out on that promotion. And it made me want to learn French just to figure out what the heck she was saying on all that stuff.
Bonjour, comment ça va?
Whoa, there she goes with that French stuff again. On that note, I got to let everybody go because I have to do work for Cindy. I have to do some promos for stuff for her.
But I had another question.
Oh, my goodness. She's got more.
Is that okay?
Sure, why not? I'm not the one paying the bill here.
All right, you were talking NXT all night. I want to know which one of the guys in the show do you think will win season two?
This is Rock's questions. Oh, who do I want to win? Obviously, I want Cabal, Loki, Tenshi, whatever. Actually, it was supposed to be Kawal. It was spelled out K-A-W-A-L. And I guess the folks at Creative couldn't put two letters together. And instead of Kawal, we got Kaval. I'd like to see that, judging from what Jim Barcelone mentioned tonight. I don't know what's going to go on with that. If it were a shoot and they went to Tough Enough Season 1 where they were literally letting them, Season 1 and 2, where they were actually letting them do stuff, and you got, and people don't even realize, you go back and look at season 1 and 2 and 3 of those shows, you'll see a very heavy Matt Morgan. Yeah, the guy who's currently talking in the third person on TV. You'll see the current John Morrison, and you'll also see the natural Kenny King. And you'll find out where the heck he got the Kenny King name. I'm trying to get him on this show too. Kenny's an awesome interview. He was one of those guys that came into TNA and I was just like, cool, Kenny King's here. They're going to use him. No, they're not. Okay. She's got, how many more questions did he give you, or are we allowed to go cut your promos now?
Excuse me. He didn't give me any questions. I told you I did my homework before I came on your show.
Okay.
I was expecting to talk wrestling tonight, but no, you didn't want me for that.
I was hoping for Colt Cabana. You're an awesome substitute for Cabana. You're a better looking one. You don't come out to the ring to Copacabana or come out at one point with a little doll like you did to mimic Ricky the Dragon Steamboat back in the Ring of Honor days.
I can make Copacabana sound good.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure she's like a karaoke. She's not Jewish. She just spends the money. Ow, Rock. That's not nice.
That's not nice.
Okay, question number 3 in Cindy Sin's I'm going to stump Alan challenge.
No, you want to hang up? I'm good. You didn't invite me here to talk wrestling when I was prepared to talk wrestling. So
you can talk wrestling. That's okay. I'm getting slapped. My wife's slapping me in one direction for shut up and get off the air. I want to go to bed. And now you're slapping me because you don't want to talk anymore. And the chat room is actually still with us. That's amazing. They're talking about somebody named Punk 9, Rock 9, Kid. Not to make fun of anyone, but Colt Cabana is a better pick. You need to go to her website, Kid, and take a look and see if Colt Cabana is a better decision over Cindy Sin.
Oh, Punk Rock, you're not allowed to listen to my show anymore.
Ooh, denied access. And she knows who you all are. That's the amazing part.
Of course I do. I've known them for months now.
Yeah, I've known them for a while, too, and I swear they don't like me because they don't call in. It's like when the previous regime was here, when the guy who went on for 20-minute rants called in, they'd call in. Everybody would be like, they just call in to shut him up, and they respect you. And I'm like, they do? Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm burying myself. I admit it. I'm good at that. If she had
a little bit.
Yeah, I know, Jersey girl, you want a Colt Cabana. I'm sorry. If you can get your money back from Cindy, you're more than welcome to get it, but I don't think you're going to get it.
That made me feel better. Sorry.
Yeah, you can ask
another
question.
He said that he wasn't going to listen to my show anyway, so I kind of kicked him out of the chat. Anyway.
Wow.
And then The Rock saw. I was going to announce it on air. Hey, at least they didn't ban him, right?
Yeah. Do you have another question, or are you really done?
I don't know.
You can ask. Go ahead. We can talk all you want. I don't have to be up until the 19-month-old alarm clock wakes me up.
Yes, and by the way, Jersey's my daughter.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I only have one daughter, but I've got lots of sons.
But yet she's older than you, so think about that. Okay, that definitely brings the hot tub time machine type thing into this.
No, we've come up with the thing that I have magical reproductive organs. The fact that they're still there after cancer is amazing. So who's the best in Canada you know?
Wait, what? Say that one more time.
Who's the best Canadian you know?
Besides, you're the best.
Other than me.
I'm good friends with Hotshot Johnny Devine. He's never steered me wrong being a Canadian.
You gotta love the Canadians.
And of course, my hockey idol, Wayne Gretzky. It was an honor I didn't know whether to bow or curtsy when I was in his presence. It was like, take any idol that you have as listeners, put that to Wayne Gretzky, or a hockey nut, which eventually will be back on this network when hockey season is back, and I think Tim Stein's trying to corral me into that show too. But to stand in front of Wayne Gretzky and just like, what do I do? Do I talk? Not talk? Oh, he's here. The god.
So Tim ranks fifth on your list?
No, Tim is third.
Third.
I don't think Tim Stein would have a problem being behind Wayne Gretzky in the list of greatest Canadians that I've met, because I haven't physically met Tim Stein in person. I have met Johnny Devine in person, and I have met Wayne Gretzky in person. So once I meet Tim in person, he would possibly become the third person on the list.
So now where does that leave me then?
You're 1A. Well, I haven't met you physically in person yet either.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Who knows? Maybe the Hot Tub Time Machine will make that happen.
I don't know. Do you have one? Because I don't.
No, but I really don't think
it would be good if you go back in time, because then I'm going to be non-existent. You're kind of a little bit older than I am.
Yeah, that's a movie that I got to get. I never got to that one in the theater. I totally wanted to see that, never got there. And we, like, gone so far off the wrestling grid that the chat room has, like, gone dead silent, so.
Okay, sorry. Who's behind the killing of The Undertaker?
The folks at BP. I'm not sure. That's a tough one to figure out. Jim Barcelone brought that one up earlier. And if there's anyone left in chat, give me some ideas. I'd like to see it as Kane, because it's kind of reminiscent. It brings back that whole feud again, and it kind of feels like the Shawn Michaels, Triple H that set up a match. I think it was SummerSlam 2002. That led to Elimination Chamber at Survivor Series 01. Jersey Girl thinks it's Vince McMahon? Why would Vince do that? I think it was 02, so that was, cause SummerSlam was at the Nassau Coliseum that year. So I had some friends that went to that event that they just said the roof went, what's left the Nassau Coliseum, which is like now is the oldest arena in hockey. The roof got blown off the joint when Shawn Michaels did it. I'm going to go with Kane for the moment. I'm not one of the 20 writers that works for that network. Ooh, I can't use that on the air in that context, Jersey Girl, but I will mention she thinks that Kane, Undertaker's quote-unquote lady friend, Michelle McCool, did it. Because she isn't getting enough action, as Curryman of TNA would like to say. If you want to join us here, and I'm going to keep... this is the neat part of the show. There's no one on after me, so I can hypothetically talk till late in the morning and bore you all to death. 888-357-9876, option 1, if you still want to be a part of Online World of Wrestling Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com is where you can see all the information about all the shows that we've been pimping here, like a guy on 42nd Street and 7th Avenue.
Alan.
It was Michaels, and it was it was his return at SummerSlam. Yes, ma'am.
Do you think they will save the return for The Undertaker for the debut on Sci-Fi?
Why not? It also all depends. I'm not a medical person, and are you still with us, Mace, or did you disappear completely?
I'm still here, but the internet's not really agreeing with me as much as
okay,
it should.
You mentioned you do have some form of medical knowledge. How long does an orbital fracture take to heal? Because, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened to Taker. I think it happened back in the 90s in a feud when Mick Foley came in as Mankind. And what's the healing time? If anyone's in the chat room, if you're a medical person, you know, or your doctor, you play one on TV, you know, what is
an orbital fracture?
Yeah, how long is an orbital fracture going for?
Initial healing of not actually being able to step on anything or anything like that is going to be roughly 6 to 8 months.
Okay, so but
it's
he could
supposed
hypothetically,
to be.
Yeah, but he could hypothetically have what he had a while back. He had a covering on his face back in the 90s. That's kind of where the Mankind mask came from. They had seen it that way. I mean, obviously
either
he can protect
way,
himself.
Either way, a fracture like that is going to be 6 to 8 months.
Now, I mean, we could also see, was it Lord Humongous? And I don't know if Tim Steine happens to be somewhere in this world. I think there was a Canadian wrestler named Lord Humongous, and I know Sid Vicious played him back in the Memphis days, wore the hockey mask. Could you see The Undertaker coming out like a Legion of Doom type hockey mask all of a sudden? Yeah, Punk9Rock9 Kid said he did stay at a Holiday Inn. You talking orbital bone? Yes, I'm talking orbital bone. I mean, it's got any kind of fracture. It's got to hurt like a son of a gun in the face. Yes, we're PG rated, so I got to keep it clean. Thanks to the landlord. Tim Steine says clean. Not Tim Steine didn't say clean, but Brad Dykens, who I like to thank each and every week for honoring me with the chance to be a part of his network, as opposed to some people who were here before me that took it for granted and wanted to take total credit for it. It's just one of those things. I mean, how soon do you bring this guy back? Sci-Fi is October 1st, I believe, and there was something going on that on the one of the hundreds of newsletters that show up in my door, that everybody seems
to
think.
I like to point out, Punk Rock Kid just said 6 to 8 months, just like I did. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got 2 6 to 8 months there. That apparently, I think it was in Oklahoma City that there was a SmackDown taping around October. That apparently they're going to do the debut of SmackDown live on a Friday night. So why not? I could see Taker coming back at that point. Doesn't hurt anybody. I'm glad you're doing your homework.
There's nothing stopping him getting the mask back on when he's getting close to a return.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. The guy's in a vegetative state, so who knows what's going on there.
Why not? Scott Steiner used to wrestle with one of them at one point, I believe.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. Look at a lot of the NBA guys wear face plates after they get a broken nose, so who knows. Rockin' is talking. Holy cow. He's
Rockin' is talking. No, those are just echoes.
Oh, it's his echo. Echo, echo, echo. I thought it was him.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No. He does that a lot. He echoes all the time
Jersey
and blames
Girl
it on everyone else.
Jersey Girl in the chat says she's waiting for Kane to blame the NXT crew for taking Kane out. Now, does that mean that Undertaker was at a barbecue and the NXT guys creeped up and said, "It's the Dead Man, let's get him"?
It was Brian Danielson at Jack Shinbones.
Yeah, and that was also him. That was I meant to bring it up when we were talking Raw with Jim Barcelona, and now it's topping in. Mason Rock were watching this with me at the time, and it was just pretty wild to see Brian Danielson, whatever the heck, he's Brian Danielson. I'm never going to call him Daniel Bryan. Kim on his knees, looking at Cena, you're not better than me. I'm better. I was just like, wow.
The boy preaching the truth, baby. He's preaching the truth.
Yeah, just take the handcuffs off the man. He's Bryan Danielson. He's not Daniel Bryan. I understand copyrights and everything like that. Yeah, I'm sorry you can't swear, Cindy, but that's your show on Thursday night. And I have to do what Brad and Jason ask me to do, unless you're Johnny Devine and you get your former co-host gets you pissed off and he started dropping F-bombs and I'm just like, okay, where's the censor button when you need one, kids? It's like, I don't got one. Do you
have
any?
That's what actually Rock was laughing about today. He's like, I should get the bleep button out. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I'm doing okay, though. There's a couple times I had to stop myself, but I'm doing okay.
I'm sure Mason and Spug do that all the time on our show, because if you listen to Russell talk, I'm the cleanest guy on that entire show.
No, he swears like crazy when he can.
No, that's because no one's monitoring him and going, you can't say that. I have no problem with my bosses saying we'd like you to run a clean show, and I'm fine with that. Fortunately, nobody's made a commercial making fun of me on that yet. I'm sure maybe there's one in the works. I don't know.
I'm working on it.
You got one coming. You'll all have got one coming where you mess with me. So, do you have anything else on your mind, or would you like me to pimp the rest of the Wild Talk Network and we get to work on your promo?
I do have some more.
Oh, goodness.
You don't mind.
Oh, bring them. Why not?
So you followed TNA forever, right?
Since 2002, yeah. Why do I feel a trivia question coming on?
Who from TNA would you like to see in the WWE?
There were a couple of people that were there that I was friends with at the time, including Frankie Kazarian and Chris Harris, that they were both there. And they were like, I'm debuting. I was like, really? Cool. Chris Harris called me the day of that he debuted as Braden Walker. And he's like, they called me. I'm coming. I was like, what do you mean you're coming? He's like, yeah, I'm doing TV tonight. I was like, what? It's like, where'd the prep come from? Current group, I'd love to see Beer Money. I'd love to see that tag team, just Cowboy, Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm. And the previous regime before I hung up on them, the hang up around the world. Well, not the hang up around the world. Nobody cared that I hung up on those guys. Said that, you know, guys like AJ Styles and Storm need to get out of the way of people like Haas and Benjamin coming in. I would love to see them. I would love, even though Jim Arsalone had said it wouldn't be a good idea, I would love to see AJ Styles in certain ways over there. Of the current roster, I'd be interested to see what they would have done with Nigel McGuinness / Desmond Wolfe, because he's just that damn good a wrestler. And surprisingly, his Desmond Wolfe promos have gotten really good. 888-357-9876 if you want to join us here still on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Someone in the room brought up something that I should have mentioned that we didn't. Punk9Rock.9Kid wants to know, do I think all of this happening right now in WWE sets up a War Games match for... Well, what actually is called Survivor Series, they did keep the Survivor Series name, apparently. I'm not 100% sure, because I haven't seen the tea leaves or anything to what's going on. I want to see if they're going to do this with NXT versus WWE. Do it way the hell of a lot better than, like, Jim had mentioned when, you know, with Sting coming in to TNA back in the day, to WWE almost. Do it way, way better than you did with the WWE versus WCW guys. Don't bury them like crazy, and don't stick a McMahon with them. Maybe Michael Cole will work. Maybe not. I'm not sure. The War Games concept works, of course, because the man who created it, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby. Yeah, my Dusty Rhodes is horrible. No, actually, Ustream 60559, they did keep Survivor Series as a name because they were showing promos for it on the Miami TV networks. The Miami, where they did USA Network in Miami. It wasn't here in Tampa, but it was on in Miami that they were calling it. They were calling it Survivor Series. What else we got in here? Someone was asking me. Someone said they want to see the Motor City Machine Guns in WWE. That would be interesting, only if you're going to have the Cruiserweight division, which last I checked, Mace, is somewhere underneath the ring or wherever Hornswoggle lives.
Say what?
Did I lose him? Is he still here?
He's around.
I'm still here. I think.
Yeah, he hasn't fallen asleep yet because he's like, well, he's on Australian time, so it's like what, two or three in the afternoon.
Two in the afternoon.
Oh, I just found this online thanks to one of our producers, namely my cat Sylvester. Survivor Series pay-per-view is back on World Wrestling Entertainment's pay-per-view calendar. The announcement was made to the audience live last night that the event will emanate from the American Airlines Arena on November 19, 2010, and tickets will go on sale this Friday. As we have mentioned previously on this show, that the WWE had originally made the call to eliminate that pay-per-view when buy rates for the 2009 event were down more than 25% from 2008. So, who knows? They're changing stuff like crazy. Who knows? Anything can happen. That's the way wrestling is, man.
So, Alan, you like trivia, right?
Somewhat, yeah. Are we doing wrestling trivia or are we doing, like, pop culture trivia?
Wrestling, of course.
Okay,
is that
fire.
Okay?
Ready.
What was the date of the first TNA pay-per-view event?
June 19,
2002. Nice.
Because in, I think it was the one in Nashville in 07 was the same date, and it was really weird. And it was in this god weird looking arena in Huntsville, Alabama, I believe was the town that my ex drove me to. My ex fiance drove because I had no idea where we were going. She was like, we're going to Alabama. I was like, all right, cool. And that show was 4 frickin' hours long. And if you haven't ever gotten a chance to find the, TNA put out a year one DVD, and I don't know if Rock's got access to the net right now. I read somewhere that TNA is going to put out a Best of the Asylum DVD. For fans that currently watch TNA TV and go, what's the Asylum? Well, the Asylum, kids, is where TNA used to do their weekly pay-per-view show for $9.95, which at the time was a real cool frickin' deal. And then in 2004, Dixie Carter had somebody whisper in her ear and said, there's this really neat place called Universal Studios where you won't get a single cent of money, but you'll have fans come to watch it. And she said, brilliant! Even though I came from country music, I totally know wrestling, and Orlando is the place to go. Yes, I know it's almost 12 o'clock, and then Mace is going, are you going to shut up soon? I'm like, yes, I promise it. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. Yeah, you have gotten some amazing research, I must say.
Well, I have more to do.
Oh, goodness. Well, you only have 5 minutes to do it in because we got to go bye-bye at some point on this network.
Oh, that's no fun.
All right,
one more then. One more. Part of the trivia. Who were the two men who competed in the Hogpen match in 1995?
Oh, God. Would that be Henry Godwin and Triple H?
Oh, very nice.
Well, I thought it was 96 because I was part of Triple H's punishment for the Click in Madison Square Garden, which actually happened the day I graduated from St. John's University in New York in 1996. That was just like all of a sudden the next morning, friends were like, yeah, after graduation, we went to the Garden. I was like, really? What happened? And they're like, this. And my jaw just hit the floor. It was like, kayfabe went where? It's like, yeah, went to Atlanta. And amazingly, some of those guys are still working today. Talk about longevity in the business. As I mentioned before, I do not have a guest locked in for next week's show. Yeah, that wasn't an In Your House. It's Punk 9, Rock 9 Kid. I'm sorry, I butchered your name there. So I want to thank everyone that was in the WTR chat room tonight, whether you stayed for the entire... Your name is Travis? All right. Welcome. We're really happy to have you here. If you're not already a part of the OWW Genesis Forum, what the heck have you been doing, man? There's an awesome site. It's got people that talk wrestling and blog cest and stuff that's in a commercial on this network that maybe you heard other places. But it's if you go to onlineworldofwrestling.com in the top of the area there, near the radio link where you can get the archive of this wonderful event and previous ones, there's a thing you click forms. Register there, man, because you can talk WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, all the indies. There's a what if area. There's stuff like you wouldn't believe. So don't forget our unofficial sponsor, CindySyn.com, CindySynn.com. If you want romance advice, you want bedroom advice, you want, I don't know, whatever she feels like talking about.
It's whatever questions are asked. I'm pretty much good with everything.
Yes, rockin', I said bedroom advice. It worked. As opposed to the S-E-X word that I'm not 100% sure that the big boss wants me to use yet. So, as always, I like to praise my bosses, Brad Dykens, Jason Dedrich, Tim Stein, Sir Rockin', Mace, who you can hear tomorrow night on Otaku Talk, Jim Barcelone, the ghost that is called Cabana. We do apologize once again, no Cabana. I feel bad! I could have got Cabana Man Dan. I would have loved that. There's a dude, real fast story, NWA National Convention 2005 Nashville. This guy hits the ring. His name is Cabana Man Dan. Comes out in the towel like Val Venus, floppy hairdo, and I was like, that's an awesome gimmick, dude. He wrestles in the Alabama area, so every so often, I'll just, like, if he's online, I'll just, like, randomly go, it's Cabana Man Dan, man! Oh, user stream 60559 would like to know, what do you think about the Divas and Knockouts of today? I honestly think they're horribly misused on both TV shows. And I say that from someone who has an 8-year-old who's been in the ring with the Bella Twins and Natty Neidhart, and has stood near Natty Neidhart and was like, she's scary, Alan. Like, at that time I was her stepdad, and so she just like, didn't call me daddy, and she's going like, she looks mean, and all of a sudden Natty talked, and she was like, she's not mean. I really wish Awesome Kong hadn't gotten Future Endeavored. I wish Rosie Lots of Love would have a little bit more seasoning. She is a Team 3D graduate, and does Betsy Ruth, I believe is her indie name. So, about Mickey James, I would wait till Slammiversary before we start talking Mickey James. This Sunday is Slammiversary, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 o'clock Eastern. I'm gonna be able to join these guys, and, go from there. So hopefully you enjoyed this show. If you didn't, I'll try to do better next time. If you want, make sure you go on Facebook and like us at Online World of Wrestling OWW Radio. There is an old page out there, not ours. You can join theirs if you want. I got no animosity towards them. They seem to have it to me. So Sir Rockin, take us away with did you find my Depeche Mode song, sir? Yes. on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Alan Wojcik, Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you very much for blessing me by being a part of this. Good night.